The opportunity has arisen to present this to you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
New green automobile models include hybrid, natural gas, and hydrogen technologies.
New green automobile models include hydrogen and electric.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
So, congratulations to all of us, and may equality live long and prosper.
Man cannon.
The annual Quahog Star Trek convention, where once a year, sci-fi buffs take their lips off the barrel of a loaded gun and spend half a day adjusting their eyes to sunlight.
Drugs. Why do kids take drugs?
Because they're awesome?
No, maybe they just understand that life is pain, and if you smoke something or take a pill, it'll go away for a while.
I'll drink to that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, that's what I gotta say.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
With ShamWow.
Roll another one.
Lube it or lose it.
Just like the other one.
My goodness, was that a mouthful.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hey, where are the white women at?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
And I draw ding dongs on people.
Roll another one.
Hey world, check me out.
Just like the other one.
What is up with Whitey?
I love you so much. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
You rip.
Next stop, Kansas City.
Just pass it around.
How you doing?
Well, don't bother to join my friend.
Yeah.
And now.
You did it.
No, weed did it.
Our feature presentation.
Is that from the Sarah Silverman Show?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that show rules. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it is Friday, the 10th of Aprilingus.
So your telephone calls are coming up for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew for the Friday morning edition, 1-800-520-1067. And I almost can't wait for this morning's edition because Dewan is going to be our first caller. So Dewan from Los Angeles, California, you hang on. We're going to get to you in 1 minute. You know, I was thinking this morning because Omar's wedding is this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting married tomorrow. And, you know, Miss Cleo's in. She's already all abuzz about it. You know how chicks are. She loves it. She's already got her outfit all pulled out. She can't wait for the wedding.
Really?
Is there any guy that wouldn't get out of going to a wedding if he could? Can you imagine looking forward to going to a wedding? I don't care how close the person is to you. We love Omar. Omar is one of the greatest guys we've ever known. We're so happy for him. None of us want to see him get married. Not one of us.
Omar just said in my headphones that he wants to get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Omar's on board.
Yeah. I mean, in this particular case, because we like Omar so much, I don't mind going at all.
You don't mind going.
But
I asked yesterday, hey, are you guys looking forward to Omar's wedding? And every single guy in the room went, no, not really.
Right. But it's not just the going to the wedding. It's that we love Omar and we want to support him and whatever. And we're happy to do that. But having said that, if the option, you know, weren't on the table this weekend, I would not be crushed.
Right.
That's
it's just
all.
It's so funny because most weddings, and I'm sure this will be the case with Omar, you know, you sit around for 30 minutes and listen to people yap at the ceremony or whatever, but after that it's basically dancing in an open bar. So it's not like you're driving down there to get tortured. I mean, for
yeah.
most people, that's a pretty decent evening, right?
Yeah, the reception's the fun part.
Yeah, exactly. But still, even having said that, even mounting up all the positives versus the negatives, still most guys would be like, yeah, sure, wish I didn't have to go.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should talk him into what we did for Lightning, the Kevin and Bean wedding package. where we perform the ceremony dressed as monks, and we do it at Santa Anita,
right?
At the racetrack.
Now, would we also offer the bonus of having the FBI in the parking lot monitoring the guest list?
The FBI would have to be there, and okay. Omar's brother, I don't know if he has one or not, but Omar's brother would need to take the mic and be drunk, and during right. the toast, to completely embarrass himself.
Omar's brother's Eric. Of course.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
From the great Cucamonga Heat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a thrill to meet him then.
Yeah, because Lightning's brother at his wedding was like, I should have her. Jake. Lightning is everything. She should be with me. We're like, okay, we'll take the mic. Thank you very much.
It was so awesome. Well, anyway, I know we're talking to Omar next hour. We'll try to talk him out of it, so we'll see how that goes. But shall we get right to Duane?
We shall, yes. And that's not the right music. But then I thought what we would do is take a brief pause and then come back with this.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Saturday. The April 18th, I guess, is going to be the middle day of this year's Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. You win tickets to see all the racing and, of course, the Puddle of Mud Show, too. It's GPLR.com is the website if you want further information. And that's what everybody gets this morning for being on Kevin Means What It Do, Nephew.
Let's begin with the man himself. Duane, we were just talking amongst ourselves yesterday. How long has it been since we've talked to Duane? We would love to talk to him again.
Since about 4 weeks.
4 weeks? Yeah. Okay.
What's been going on? Why have you been gone for so long, Duane?
Because I haven't called you guys for a while because I have to go to bed early because I need to get ready for work.
Oh, I see. So your schedule has changed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm off, though.
You're off today?
Yep.
Okay, good. Yeah, usually what Duane does is he's still up from last night, and then he'll call us, before he goes to bed at 6 or 7. But not anymore.
Or late.
Now, what are you going to do with your day off?
I'm going to a party today at my job.
A party at your job?
Yeah, at 1 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
So on your day off, you're going into work, basically.
Not working, like... Go to a party.
Right.
To a party.
Or the Easter.
Oh, for Easter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in the Easter money?
Yes, I have. I seen him on TV.
Right. But he's real, right?
I don't know if he's real or not.
Yeah. Of course he is. Of course the Easter Bunny is real. How else do you think those eggs get delivered to your house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you calling about? You had a computer problem or something?
Nope. I finally got my own Magic Jack to talk everywhere in the U.S. and Canada for free on the internet.
Is Duane talking about having Skype or something instead? Where you can make free long-distance calls?
Is that what you're talking about? The phone system? Okay.
Oh, yes.
That's so fantastic, Duane.
So on Skype, as long as you have an internet connection, you can call for free pretty much.
Yes, but after your first year, you have to pay, like, per year.
I see.
Okay.
And how many people do you call on a regular basis, you know, in Canada and around the country?
Like, I call my mom, my brother. I call somebody around the U.S.
Don't your mom and brother live right near you?
Yeah, I call a cell phone. It's long distance.
Oh, it's long distance when you have to call their cell phone.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. All right, Duane. Well, it sounds like you got it going on, man. You got the free calls. You got the Easter party. You got the day off. Sounds like life couldn't be any better for you.
Yeah. I wish you guys a happy Easter, all of you guys. I love you guys.
Thank you, Duane. We love you, too.
Duane. We love you, too. You have a great weekend, all right?
You too, man.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I know. Nicest guy in the world right there.
Yeah, it makes my whole day. Like nothing can spoil today now that I know Duane is out there and he's in a warm, safe, comfortable place.
Give us a chance. We can figure something else out that'll ruin it.
All right, this is going to be a radical switch, but let's go to James in La Habra. Couldn't go any further from the sweetness and light, the puppies and sunshine of Duane Johnson. Listen to Filthy James and what he's got going on.
All right, this is a long story. I'm going to sum it up as fast as possible.
All right.
My fraternity brother knocked a girl up. dated her for a year, and all of a sudden, my friend tells me, dude, the girl's in porn. And we're like, wow, that is crazy. Well, next week, he goes, dude, check out this link I sent you. Open the link. It's the guy doing gay porn. They both are into porn now.
Isn't this Blinky, right? Our intern?
No, it's James from La Habra.
What are you doing?
This is a true story, dude. It blew my mind. I had to let you guys know.
I'm not sure I follow. So you thought it was going to be a girl that you know doing porn, but you clicked on the link and it was a guy that you know doing porn?
It's the girl who does porn.
Okay.
And then the guy also escorts and does gay porn.
Wow.
I see. Okay. Yeah. That's the crowd you're running with then.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to say none of it's true.
And it's just Blakey wants to be on the radio.
I'll show it to you on Monday. I will show you a picture of me with him in the fraternity, and then I'll show you the gay porn.
Show us that, please.
I will.
Did you think that we wouldn't put you on if we knew you were Blinky?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what
knowing
I thought.
Knowing Bean, yes.
Yeah, Bean doesn't like you.
Oh, can't hear you. Break it up. Break it up. Can't hear you.
Got to tell you, this morning I'm with Bean.
It was a bad call, right?
Let's go to Margie in Long Beach. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, guys. What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Last night I came home early from a barbecue, and I don't think my roommate was expecting me to come home early.
Roommate guy or roommate girl?
Roommate guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he was kind of pleasuring himself.
Yes.
In
his bedroom, in the living room, in the parking lot, where?
It was in the living room. He had his laptop open.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is that code?
Margie, yeah. did you ever think that maybe he was expecting you?
No, because he's gay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Are you calling from Blinky's house? What's going on here? Is everybody just making up crazy stories today?
So he's gay. He thought you were going to be gone. He was taking care of business when you walked in.
Yeah, I was at a family barbecue, and I came home early.
Right, got that part.
I kind of just went straight into the kitchen, started talking like if I didn't see anything, and, hey, honey, I brought home some food in case you're hungry. I'm tired. I'm going to go to my room and go to bed.
So you just kind of acted like that didn't happen.
Right.
Did he continue?
No.
All right, just checking.
Right.
He's not gay, by the way.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying. You sound hot. He says he's gay so that, you know, you don't mind undressing in front of him. That's what that's about.
It happens in the movies all the time.
I have seen it in movies. That's true.
So it must be true. Okay. Thank you, Margie. We appreciate the call. All right. What's going on today? These are bizarre tales. Let's try one more. Bob is in Santa Fe Springs, and he's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe there's some good news here. Hey, Bob. Welcome to the show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What's happening?
And all right, so April Fools, I was hanging out with my friends, smoking some herb, and probably I was all faded, and I got to leave their house, like, as soon as I finished. 5 minutes later, I'm driving down the street, and I get pulled over for a busted headlight.
Nice.
I had herb in my pocket, and I had a bench warrant out for my arrest.
Oh, no.
Yeah, tell me about it. But I get pulled out of the car, and I can't even find my registration or proof of insurance. They ask me if there's anything they should know, and I tell them straight out about my bench warrant and the herb in my pocket.
Oh! Why did you do that?
Because it's better to be honest with officers.
Whoa.
Unless they don't find out if you don't tell them.
Yeah, in some circumstances, if they're not going to find out, why would you offer that up?
Well, he already asked me if I was high because I smelled of it.
I see. So it was really, really obvious. You were you had the smell of Snoop on you.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
I even had a raver necklace around my neck. So one cop starts talking to me, and he's all like, man, you look like a walking billboard that says, I take ecstasy.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to laugh, but I was scared at the moment because I already thought I was going straight to jail.
Sure.
But like,
so cut to the chase here, Bob. What happened? What was the result of the encounter with the police officer?
Well, after about 15 minutes, they started tallying up all the things they were have to charge up on me, and they got a call on their walkie, and they let me go. They hopped into their cars, and they boned up.
I love that. They said, we're a little too busy, got too much to do, just stay out of trouble?
Yeah, pretty much. They told me to get my effing warrant fixed.
That's pretty good. You're lucky.
I lucked out.
That's what you always hope when you're being pulled over, is that a more urgent call will come into the officer and it's not worth dealing with you. Or a situation like yours where they know they got 2 hours worth of paperwork to write you up. Nobody likes that.
But most of the time, that more important call, I will never forget getting pulled over for a speeding ticket about 2 blocks from a 7-Eleven. And while the cop was talking to me, I heard on his radio that 7-Eleven was being held up.
Awesome.
And I thought, this is the best thing ever. He's going to let me go. He's got to go check out the set. Stood there and wrote me the ticket. I was like, there's 7-Eleven right there. He's getting robbed. Didn't say anything. Just kept writing the ticket. That's
they
awesome.
They let me go. They told me to get my effing warrant fixed, and they're like, get out of here.
Well, that's pretty cool. You dodged a bullet there.
Yep. Now I got to
Bob. Sometime. Thanks for the call, dude. See you later.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
On the program, we have Ask a Car Salesman.
Great.
Which we've been wanting to do for a long time. We have this Ask a series. This, I think, is one of the first ones that we've done that does not in some way involve sex. We try to, you know, do that every once in a while. We did have Ask a 911 operator, which was pretty fascinating. But Ask a Car Salesman today, all the questions that you might have for them, whether it's best to buy at the end of the month, beginning of the week. You know, are they really doing anything when they walk back to the manager and check if they could get you a lower price? Whatever. All of those questions we'll have today. We also have a new Kevin Bean Instant Request we think you will love. We have Adam Carolla coming in on the show today with a new feature. We have Spencer Pratt. I don't know if you heard this story, but Heidi Montag is coming out with another CD. And Spencer Pratt is the guest rapper. Not singer, rapper.
That can't be good. There's no possibility he has talent there. None.
Right, I agree, but it's going to be awesome. Bad, which makes it good. And we're going to talk Omar out of getting married tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day he's getting married. And we just, you know, we have a little bit of time. We have a small window of time that we can actually talk him out of getting married. We're going to give that a shot.
All we have to do is Psycho Mike needs to tell him what he did to Omar's fiance last year. That should do it. If Omar doesn't know about that, that'll clinch the deal.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Please. Oh, is that? What? I didn't, yeah. But we, Let's, I.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And if you go outside and look at that sun, that sunlight is 8 minutes old already. And that's a bummer.
Okay. Thank you, Jed. That's very good information to break in.
That is a bummer. That.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning.
How the hell are you, Ralph?
It's, something's got to be done.
About?
I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. You guys probably won't get behind me, but I got to do something.
About what?
I can't. I got to think over the weekend. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. Monday morning, I have to come in here with something.
What's the problem?
I've had an ass full of pita.
Oh, no.
I'm done with pita.
Yeah.
And there needs to be something. I need to start slaughtering animals in the streets or something. I need to start an anti-pita organization.
I understand your frustration with pita.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, I do. No, trust me, you don't.
Because we've talked about it hundreds of times.
You put hats on your pigs, and you do other pita-esque things.
No, but what I'm saying is you play into their hands by talking about them. Just ignore them, and they'll stop doing stupid things to get attention if it doesn't work.
Yeah, they will. Right. If I ignore them, they'll stop doing stupid things.
That's a
genius.
That's
a genius plan.
That is an option for Ralph to stop to ignore them, but they won't stop doing what they're doing.
They come up with stupid things so that they get talked about in the press, and then people go, oh, what's PETA about? Let me check it out. If everybody ignored the stupid stuff that they do, there wouldn't be any reason for them to do it.
Right, but that's not a realistic answer.
Right, what are they up to, Ralph?
Not ever going
to
happen. What'd they do this time?
PETA has posted on their official website that they are sending a letter to the Pet Shop Boys.
What?
Making an official request for them to change their name to the Rescue Shelter Boys.
Oh, no.
That is...
No.
That's the Onion. That's
no,
a joke.
It's 100% true.
That's not possible.
They say that pet shops are profit-hungry breeders who keep the animals crammed in filthy conditions, and that this name change would help the cause for better animal conditions everywhere.
Really?
Pet Shop Boys, change your name to Rescue Shelter Boys.
Wow, are you stupid?
Wow. That's a terrible, stupid idea.
The Pet Shop Boys have officially responded and said, no.
Nope.
I mean, I wish pet stores didn't sell pets too, but this isn't the way to make that happen.
No, it'll help.
It'll help.
If they change their name to Rescue Shelter Boys.
And as we all know, the Pet Shop Boys are just taking over the world right now.
No one's hotter.
This is a timely request. That's
right.
For sure, where it can do maximum good.
What? Here's the problem. This is why we have animal cruelty. It's because the people at PETA are sitting around in their office thinking up this crap.
instead of
helping
real
animals.
Problems. Yeah.
Instead of doing something to help an animal. They're like, oh, okay. But... Hey, Pet Shop Boys. Yeah, we'll ask them to change their name. Awesome. High five.
Yeah, Peter can suck it.
Filled with freaking chicks, you know, who just don't shave under their arms, and they still smell like patchouli, and they're wearing Birkenstocks over there. Sure. F them.
Great cause. They do harm to it, I think.
I'm going to open a pet shop now. I have to do something to counter them. Every time they do something, I have to counter.
The universe needs balance.
The universe needs balance, exactly.
Let's petition PETA to change their name because it includes the word pet, and they're offensive to pets.
We'll just call them a-holes. Change your organization to a-holery.
Pretty good. Pretty good organization.
Jack-officious.
Farrah Fawcett's out of the hospital.
Oh, good.
All right.
What?
What?
Happy for
Farrah. I said, all right.
All right.
She was released yesterday. Apparently, she had bleeding in one of the muscles in her abdomen, resulting from a procedure that she got in medical procedure she got in Germany. They make good things there in Germany.
Yeah, they do.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
And she's feeling much better, and so she's on the mend at home, which is good news. She's still battling cancer, but she's got to be feeling better. So good.
Yeah.
Good news there. Good news also for Sarah Michelle Gellar and her husband Freddie Prinze Jr. You know, you don't talk about that couple a lot, but they have to be one of the most successful couples in Hollywood. They've been together for a long, long time.
Yeah, seems like it.
They are going to have their first child this fall, so congratulations to that lovely young couple. And speaking of celebrities and children, Madonna caught a break yesterday in her bid to adopt Mercy, name of the little girl that she wants to adopt in Malawi. The Human Rights Commission in Malawi has launched an investigation to find out how well the child is being treated at the orphanage where she currently resides. Well, let me help you out, Human Rights Commission. I'm sure it's crappy. I'm pretty sure that the orphanage in Malawi is crappy conditions. That's how she's being treated.
Yeah, they're not exactly Four Seasons resorts.
Yeah. So the legal team from Madonna is having them look into this. Hopefully that if the situation is dire enough, they will look kindly on Madonna's request to adopt and move little Mercy out of the orphanage.
They were telling her she had to live there for 6 months or something.
It's longer than that. It's like 24 months or something.
So you're saying they would waive that if the situation's bad.
I think that's what they're hoping for. Yeah. So we'll have to wait.
What happened to Madonna's face?
That's a good question. And when Carrie Hart was in here the other day,
yeah,
did you guys ask him about Pink? What's going on with Pink?
Off the air.
We did, yeah.
Off the air.
Yes.
So that our listeners would not be able to enjoy that information?
Correct.
I see.
That was our goal, yes.
It comes out today that they're back together again. They've reunited. But you're all nodding. You guys all knew that because you asked him off the air.
We did because
you didn't think our listeners would enjoy knowing anything about the state of their relationship.
He's a friend of ours, and I didn't know they were getting back together when I asked him off the air. I just said, it seems like you got getting along for people who are breaking up. And that's all. And then he said, yeah, we're thinking about getting back together.
Huh. We're working it out.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it says here, he talked to the London Sun tabloid and said they've worked it out.
Fantastic.
See, the London Sun I guess, asked him over coffee or something outside of the realm of the newspaper. But I guess they thought it would probably be better for their readers if they brought them that information.
So what do you say? You're saying that the on-air information could have benefited from that? From talking about that?
I think maybe.
Okay.
I think our listeners would have enjoyed hearing that from the horse's mouth.
Note to self.
Ask guests interesting things on air. Is that the note you're going to make to yourself?
Yes.
After 20 years?
Yes.
We are fascinating off-air, though. I'll tell you that.
Well, Lightning always said we should do the off-air show. That's what we should do. Now he's making flash animations. So, what do we know?
What do we know?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Steven Seagal.
Yeah!
Action star Steven Seagal is 58 years old today, or as Doto calls him, Steven Seagal. What cracks me up is it's not just he says Steven Seagal because he's got an accent, or he says it. When he writes it, he spells Steven Seagal.
Well, he's consistent.
I think he really thinks the dude's name is Steven Seagal.
I think he might, yeah.
He's 58 years old today. Sportscaster John Madden is 73 years old today.
Oh, may it be his last year.
Oh, that guy's the best announcer
He's
ever.
The worst.
Absolutely and by worst, worst, you mean the absolute best.
Absolute worst. Mandy Moore.
Oh! Yep.
Turns 25 years old today. And Haley Joel Osment. Remember the little kid from The Sixth Sense, I See Dead People?
Sure.
21 years old. He's 21 years old today. Now he sees drunk people. Because he's 21. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And then we've got Ask a Car Salesman. The great Bo Bachman is going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour. Oh, I have so many questions for this dude.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to walk out of a car dealership after buying a car without feeling that somehow there's more you could have done or should have known about the process.
You know for a fact that you got kind of ripped off.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk to them about this, but I mean, of course you expect them to make a profit. You don't expect them to be able – they can't stay in business if they sell you a car for less than they paid for it. But how much of a profit are you willing to let them get away with? And because it's one of those things that seems negotiable, it seems like they have all the cards. So maybe Bo will fill us in on what we should know coming up later on. First, though, dead man walking, Omar Khan joins us in studio. Hey-o.
What's happening, guys?
I would just like to say officially – it's not too late. It's not too late today to avoid this.
Dude, and to I'm 100% in. I'm
somehow
committed.
Just move along to something else. It'll be a little rough at first, but I think down the road you'll be very happy.
Really?
Yeah.
She won't be pleased with the news that you've decided not to get married tomorrow. Kevin's telling he's warning you up front that it may be rough and rocky a little bit this first weekend, but she'll settle down.
Oh, really? After 12 years, she'll be fine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
All right.
Omar's getting married tomorrow, and
why?
Because she's the perfect woman for him. That's
absolutely.
Why.
Kevin, tell her what you did at April Fool's.
I saw at April Fool's, we were backstage, and Omar had clearly been overserved. I mean, he was jumping around. We told the story yesterday in Joe Rogan's face and just in everybody's face, and you couldn't pull him off people. He was just going crazy.
I'm all f***ed up, dude. You don't even want to film this, dude. Honestly, you don't want to film this, dude.
Yep. So one of the listeners, I believe it was, I don't know who it was, it's not important, they came up to Omar and they said, if you do drink this whiskey, I'll buy you another one. Clearly, long after he should have been cut off. Yeah.
So but at that point, what am I going to do?
Right. Yeah. So he grabs the whiskey and just starts just chugging it. And Omar's fiance, and she's had to see this a million times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
His fiance starts going, chug, 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 chug. And I was like, that's it. He's got to marry her.
Yeah. She is the perfect woman.
She knows what she's getting into, too, you know?
That's the craziness.
True. Yeah, I know.
And she's still doing it. She's the one who has to clean up the sick later. And she's still asking you to chug it.
Absolutely. Hey, that's
hey, what are we talking about now?
Now, let me ask you this, though, before we get into the topic at hand. After 12 years together and things were going great, did some pressure creep in that she kind of said, hey, if you like it, you should have put a ring on it?
No.
What's going on?
No real pressure. It was just, you know, I just am the type of dude that actually wants to get my life kind of together. I kind of wanted to have some sort of direction before.
Since when?
You know? you know, and I finally felt that, you know, I was ready and, you know, I was ready to, you know, commit to her and, you know, provide, you know, the type of life that I want to provide my wife.
Well, you don't want to rush things, and that's why for the first 11 and a half, 12 years, you were just testing it out.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, all her siblings, you know, are divorced, and my parents come from, everybody gets divorced. I really wanted to make sure.
Well, you will, don't worry.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll happen. It's so. Just,
we're already calling this your first marriage. I mean, yeah, that's day true. One. So you of course, these days, for whatever reason, I don't know why, the man in the relationship seems to be more involved than ever before in a wedding. It used to just be, you know, back in the 1920s when I got married the first time, it used to be, you just tell me where to show up and I'll be there and I don't need to know anything else. Now it seems like every single step of the way, poor Omar gets dragged into, oh, what do you think of this color? What do you think of this fabric? What do you think of this cookie? You know?
I thought the exact same thing going in as, you know what, I'm going to, you know, propose to you, get you the ring, and then I'm out.
And
I'll
check
see
it out.
You. I'll see you a year from now at the wedding day. You know, not the case, man. Every step of the way, and flowers, and you never feel like less of a man. You know, telling a dude, I don't like this shade of flower. You know,
you said that.
I want to go. Yeah, because you know.
Why would you say that?
Because it was an ugly color.
Yeah, but.
Because I'm there, I might as well give my opinion on things, you know what I'm saying,
her,
and get something.
There's a way to do this stuff. You lead over into her ear and go, not so crazy about that color.
Nah, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Women, not all women, of course there are, you know, exceptions. A lot of women look forward to this day their whole lives, and they plan it for, you know, the first 25 years of their life. And they really want their guy to be involved and happy and whatever, but there's no possible way a guy can muster up as much energy and excitement and everything else that the woman has. It's really the day for the woman.
Absolutely. And, you know, every step along the way, I go, yes, dear, yes, honey. You
right.
Know,
that's your role.
Yeah, exactly. You say, yeah, whatever you think.
That should be your only role.
Absolutely.
Oh, that was a good choice.
Right. Yeah.
But, guys, you all know, because we've all been there, what a fine line it is of making, honey, that's good. Or, yes, dear. Where if you're not enthusiastic enough, she's mad at you because, oh, you don't really care.
Right.
And then you go down that path of you don't really care. And the fact is you really don't care, but you've got to muster some fake interest.
I kind of lucked out, though, because my chick was pretty mellow on that sort of thing, you know? I mean, we're both kind of more laid back than the, you know, I think bridezilla type couple or, sure, you know, bride, right. No, you know.
Your fiance is nothing like bridezilla.
Yeah, yeah, you know. So
I would be
really
worried about
back,
you,
you know?
Yeah. In the relationship. Yeah, you know. Not her. So we're going to take some calls here in a minute. 1-800-520-1067. You got married at one point. You don't have to still be married, but you got married, and the things that your fiance had you do, yeah, leading up to the wedding sometimes can be ridiculous.
Yeah, the gayest thing that I had to do, and I kind of like, you know, I for a split second, I was like, I don't really feel like doing that. As before I could even, you know, get that sentence done,
right,
she was like, you're doing it. And it was an engagement photo shoot. It was so...
Now,
yeah.
Tell me about that, because is that a fairly new trend that's
never,
now coming? Because I don't remember that at all.
I've never heard of it until we started looking for photographers. Oh, and I guess now it's like super common. They throw it in every package. And, you know, it's just an excuse for them to, you know, photograph you before the wedding for an hour to, you know, charge you an extra $500.
Right. So, you know, where did you do... Is it a package deal? You can't not do that? I mean, you have to...
It doesn't make sense not to do it.
Okay.
You know?
So where'd you do it? Where were your pictures?
Hollywood, like a Hollywood and Highland. We took a couple of pictures at the lobby of the Hollywood Renaissance, by Grauman's, in front of the Jimmy Kimmel Theater,
right,
and, down in the subway station.
And this was right after you got engaged. Or,
No, it was about 9 months afterwards.
9 months afterwards,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't understand. What's the point of those photos? I'm not clear. I mean,
photographers
those sound,
need money?
Yeah.
But those sound like photos that you guys could take anywhere
but here's,
you
here,
went.
Here's the thing, okay? Dudes and chicks don't get together for photo shoots. That's just a fact, okay? So, basically, the girl's all like, we never do this any type of cute stuff. Let's do it. And you can't say no.
Yeah, then in this particular instance, when it's the wedding, your best move is just to say absolutely.
Yeah, for sure, you know.
Even though you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Now, what else? What other kind of things are you having to do?
Well, last Sunday evening, I spent 3 hours bagging Jordan almonds for party favors. Because we needed Jordan almonds.
Yeah, oh, because it's Easter weekend or whatever?
She wanted Jordan almonds, okay, at the reception, so I was like, okay.
All right.
I'm there tying ribbons for like 3 hours.
Yes.
That's fantastic, Al.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You didn't have a shower, did you?
Oh, no, she
did. A co-ed
did.
Shower?
She did. No.
A co-ed
no,
thing
gay.
Is bogus.
No, I'm not about that. She had a shower, bachelorette party, and her students threw. She had so many presents. I mean, it's all about her, you know.
Of course.
Totally.
And that's cool.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything needs engraving, okay?
Is that the deal?
Yeah, champagne flutes, the things, the utensils we're going to use to cut the cake with. We have
Isn't
to get
those.
We have to choose the font. Do you like this font? No. This
oh.
font. This font's a little bit better.
Wow.
Yeah. What kind of vases you want for the centerpieces? You know, do you like the
Are
ones that
serious?
Flare out? Do you like the square bottom? Do you like the oval bottom? Do you like the circle bottom? It's insane.
Here's the thing about guys, and this is Kevin speaking. I could not. I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
Omar probably does because he's a bit emo.
You
know what I mean?
I do, and, you know, part of me...
I don't like the circular one. Give me a different one. I don't like the circular one.
I do want it to look a little nice. By the way, our florist is gay.
Yeah.
It's so funny dealing with that dude. It's just like, this one, it's wonderful. You have to go with this one because the oval is going to... Oh, it's just so gay.
Well, he speaks your language.
A florist who's gay? Are you kidding?
Why
are you
kidding? So I'm just saying it's not too late.
No, I'm in, man. I'm 100% committed.
He's got all the bad stuff out of the way now, really.
It's true.
All that's left is the good stuff.
Should
right?
I check
the party and the honeymoon, yeah.
Unfortunately, the wedding is in Riverside, so...
It's not that bad. It's in Rancho.
Would you mind if I call tomorrow some days, you know, tomorrow around noon or something, just to double check before I come out?
Sure.
Okay.
It'll still be on, man.
Make sure it's still on?
Sure.
All right.
All right. So the calls that we are looking for are guys who have been living or have lived the hell that Omar has gone through for the past year, which is you do stuff for this wedding that you never in a million years thought that you would be asked to do. You can't believe how gay you feel when you're asked to pick patterns out
and you don't
whatever else.
And you really don't care about a lot of that stuff, but you don't want to upset your fiance either.
Right.
You want her to be happy. And
absolutely.
So you do have to kind of fake the funk a little bit.
Man, catalogs upon catalogs and bride magazines, like up the yin yang, man.
Yeah.
Looking at, you know, she's like, you know, trying to choose her bridesmaids' dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And they all look 100% the same. I swear to God, just because there's a little one seam like down the side, it changes the whole look of the dress. And to me, I'm like, well, that one's a little shorter than that one. They're all like, it's the same length. What are you looking at? I'm just like, oh, whatever you want, dear.
I will keep that to myself from now on.
Yeah. it's crazy.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We will take one call now, then we'll take a quick break. But Andy in Fullerton is on the line. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What'd you have to do when you got married?
Oh, my wife tried to punk me into a joint bridal shower.
Oh, those are so bogus.
So gay.
Oh, man, I felt so gay.
And you did it, right?
Oh, no, dude. I worked my way out of that one.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the bridal shower. I mean, that's not for guys.
No.
Because they're not brides.
Right.
It turns out.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
Well, you did the right thing, Andy. I know it's a tough line to walk where you go, sure don't want to go to that.
Yeah.
But then you don't want to hurt her feelings, so you say, wow, I got scabies. I can't I can't make it. I'm liquid from the neck down. All right, we got a bunch of people on hold, including dance lessons that one of the grooms had to do for.
Fantastic.
For, I don't know, 6 months!
Ouch.
So we'll talk to you next when we get back on the world famous K-Rock, things that your fiance made you do just before your wedding.
We're catching up with our friend Omar Khan. Hey, you're taking your wife's last name. You won't even be Omar Khan starting Monday,
no,
right?
No. She's taking
really
Khan.
didn't go that far?
Wow, no, not that far.
You're not Jay Moore?
Yes.
She's taking yours?
Yeah. I know. We're on the no-fly list forever.
Yeah. That's a bad decision.
That's a good point.
You'll never be able to travel by plane.
Absolutely.
So O was telling us about some of the hellish things that he's had to do that he never expected to do. Even knowing he was going to be a groom and that he was going to get married, he's been far more involved in the wedding plans than he ever hoped to be. Yep. And it's been very entertaining for us to watch him miserable. But let's start with Yuri in Simi Valley as we get into your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Your fiancé, the woman you're going to marry or did marry, made you do crazy stuff leading up to the wedding. Hi, Yuri.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, I took about 6 months worth of dance lessons early morning every Sunday during football season.
Okay, slow down. Don't rush past that. Okay. Every Sunday morning during football season, you had to get up at 6 to go to a dance class.
Yeah, it was actually 8. So I had to get up first thing in the morning for about almost 6 months. And rush out the door and, you know, get ready to take salsa lessons that was going to be part of our first dance at our wedding.
Isn't this unbelievable? I mean, so much of the stuff that happens is for that one day. It's not even about the marriage. It's just literally about the wedding. Just because you were going to have a couple hundred people watching you dance, you had to train for 6 months.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not the most coordinated person, but, you know, still it was
but
very
6 painful. Months. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the instructor was a gay guy, and I had to dance with him, you know, almost cheek to cheek, pretty much.
Sure.
For him to show me, you know, the moves and what my wife would be responsible for. And he had unbelievable sweating in his hands.
Nice.
So it was really the best of all worlds.
That's not sweat.
Sounds like it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Hector in Anaheim on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Hector, sounds like you had a blast planning your wedding, too.
Oh, yeah, it was wonderful.
What did you have to do?
Let me preface this by saying that my wife was not a bridezilla at all, but it came to this one thing. I knew the dresses were important, but my wife had hers made. So one wonderful Sunday morning, we took off about 7 o'clock to downtown L.A., Fabric District, and she dragged me around from place to place looking at swatches and fabrics and patterns, and it was ridiculous.
Hey, Hector, I'd just like to point out, because maybe you're not aware, you just used the word swatches. That is not an acceptable word to be coming out of your mouth.
I got drilled into my brain that day. By the end of the day, I was just laying on the fabrics and sitting on the ground. I wanted to leave. I was done with it.
Yes, okay, that one's fine, too. Yes, oh, I love that one, too. Whichever one. Just pick one.
And like we were saying with Omar when he was talking about the bridesmaid dresses, there's no possible way you could care less which fabric she chose, right? You just wanted to be done with it.
Yeah.
No, I think by the end of the day, she decided between, like, a cream and a beige or something. They looked the same to me. We walked 5 blocks to go from one store to the other just to compare.
Good times.
She asked me, I was like, I don't know. That one's nice. I like
fantastic.
That one.
Yeah. All right, Hector. Thank you for the call.
At one point, I was like, hey, I like the pink one. She's like, it's not pink. It's fuchsia. I'm like, what?
Jason is in Whittier. He's on line 6. Hey, Jason. Thanks for calling. What'd you have to do or not do in your case?
Well, the wife, when while we were dating, we were having a normal sex life. And then I proposed to her, and she said, you know what, let's make this special. Let's cut off sex for a year.
What?
And then wedding night. Dude. Yeah. Yeah, no, dude, yeah.
Did you say said, let's not get married?
For a year?
I should have, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, for a year.
A year.
You know, for the it'll make it special that one night. I'm like, we've been having sex for all these years. What's the difference? Well, whatever.
All right, this is the important question now.
What's that?
You went along with that, correct?
I did. We're still married. We have two kids. You know, it's all great. But
You went for a year leading up to the wedding without having sex.
I kind of slipped, a couple times. So
still, you slipped a couple times.
Well, you know, I
fell on the floor on top of her. One of those deals. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
And sleeping. Yeah,
I didn't mean to do that. I just fell.
Dude.
Wow.
Can I give you some advice, Jason, now that we're friends? Don't ever tell anybody that story.
All my friends are listening.
Yeah, that's great. Good.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
All right, let's try. These are great. Omar, we're finding out that you didn't have it that bad after we hear these calls, aren't we?
Yeah, I didn't go through
Let's go to Garrett in Upland, by the way, on line one. Now we're getting into an area that I'm just, I can't even imagine going along with it. Hi, Garrett, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going? Yeah, she made me get a manicure because we had those close hand pictures with the rings.
Right.
And it was Asian salon, no happy ending, but.
Oh. Getting a manicure isn't all that bad considering that other dude had to take dance lessons every Sunday for 6 months.
I know. And that guy, Jason, he tried to do that to me too, but I said, F that.
Yeah.
But literally,
What kind of caveman hands did you have that you can't just cut your nails at home?
No, well, I worked outside, so. They were kind of beastly.
Okay.
And but the one thing, I did ruin the wedding pictures, though, because I guess she stressed me out so much that I got a fever blister on my lip.
Excellent.
Oh, that's what you want for the photos.
Good.
That's fantastic.
That's all you see on our pictures is my red ulcer on my face.
Oh, that's the best. Because, you know, everybody comes over and goes, you know, how about herpes boy here? What's going on
with
that?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That seems awesome. Bad.
All right, well, you don't all have right. it too bad, Omar.
Yeah.
You don't have it too bad.
I didn't have it too bad.
I'm still going to call tomorrow.
There's no need to call, dude. I'm going through with it.
I know, but I'm calling about noon.
Okay.
Just have your cell phone standing by. I want to make sure it's happening before I drive out to Rancho.
All right, it's all good.
And I'm still offering to be the DJ. If you want me to DJ your wedding, I will do it.
I think everybody would enjoy a set from DJ Kevy Kev.
I'll rock it. I'll bring the ones and twos if that's what I need to do.
Absolutely. What song are you going to kick off with?
How great is male ass?
Something like that.
You guys sure love your car chases.
That's going to go away.
That was a great car chase.
It's going to go away so we can get through this. Otherwise, Kevin be like, look at shiny thing wall not have good.
It was a woman driver, and she made a U-turn in the middle of a intersection, and then three cop cars rammed her from all three sides.
It was a parking lot, wasn't it?
Stopped it like that. I don't think so.
No, it's an intersection.
Oh, really? Yeah. It was awesome. That was good police work right there. A lot of wrecking.
It's 6:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Spencer Pratt from the Hills says that his lady Heidi's music is better than Madonna, Britney, Beyonce, or Christina Aguilera. Believe it or not, we have something from the album that you can hear coming up after the news at 7. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday morning. What's going on?
Is she as good as Lady Gaga, though? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
All I hear is Lady Gaga, Lady Goo Goo.
I don't think that's
Lady Gaga. Love that song.
That's Radio Gaga. It's a different song.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some tickets to give away all day today to one of my favorite events of the year, Paley Fest 09. This is the William Paley Television Festival where you get to spend an evening with the cast and creators of your favorite TV shows.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Thanks to the Paley Center for Media, previously known as Museum of Television Radio, for giving us these tickets to each and every one of these special evenings. You can go for more information to paleycenter.org. But today I'll be giving away tickets for Pushing Daisies, which was a beloved show that was canceled way too soon. Big Love, great show over there on HBO, and Swingtown for the swingers in the audience. First, I'll be giving away Pushing Daisy tickets right now. Here is your trivia question for you Pushing Daisy fans. One of the major characters on the show was the faceless narrator. The narrator we never got to see but learned to love.
This is Ned, a man with the ability to bring things back to life. His story began in the town of Coeur d'Alene when he was just a boy. and discovered his extraordinary talent in a most unusual way.
What super talented actor was the narrator of Pushing Daisies? What's the name of the actor who was the narrator for Pushing Daisies? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two Pushing Daisy fans who get through will get a pair of tickets to this very special evening on April the 19th.
For these shows that have been canceled, though, is it just like somebody will raise their hand and go, you guys remember when that show was on? That was cool.
I'm sure they'll talk about the heartbreak of going off the air. The thing about Pushing Daisies is that the final three episodes were never aired. I believe ABC has since decided they will air them at some point, but you will get to see at least one of those unaired episodes at this evening with Pushing Daisies, so it's kind of cool if you're a fan.
ABC is going to burn them off on some upcoming Saturday nights, they announced.
See, there you go. Bean knows. They should do an evening with Bean, the Paley Center, where Bean just tells you all the stuff he knows. People just ask their questions. Well, what? Is Pushing Daisies going to show? Yes. They would be burning them off in Saturdays.
You have
January.
The cast up there, and you let them try.
And then Bean will just fill in.
I thought that I was being helpful because
yes,
you brought up
helpful.
The topic.
You were being helpful. I appreciate it.
We have a winner here already.
Already?
Ralph.
You know, I'll tell you, this show has a feverish fan base. People just
less now than when it was on.
Crazy about this. Actually, I think more, because sometimes, you know, that happens. Like when a show goes off the air, the fans get even more passionate because they feel burned. Who are we going to here?
Tim in Garden Grove.
Tim!
Hey.
Hey, Tim. Who was the narrator on Pushing Daisies?
Jim Dale.
Jim Dale. Very talented actor. Who also, by the way, does all the audiobooks for Harry Potter.
Really?
That's how I knew it.
What's that?
That's how I knew it.
That's how you knew it? Well, there you go.
Good call.
Congratulations. You want a pair of tickets to an evening with Pushing Daisies.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. Also, congratulations to Karen in Baldwin Park, who's also our winner. More tickets later on today for Big Love in Swingtown. Here's a charity that is auctioning off a lunch that I may have to bid on, and I hope you guys can give me some cash.
Nope.
The organization is called the Adrian Shelley Foundation. Adrian Shelley was a very talented actress and director who was murdered in 2006. She did Waitress, that film with Kerry Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have started a foundation in her name which supports the artistic achievements of female filmmakers with scholarships and grants. And they are doing some auctions on eBay that are some really cool events if you're interested. They end in about a week, I think. But they are auctioning off lunch with John Hamm of Mad Men.
Oh.
Don Draper.
Nope.
Your erection is showing.
Just a lunch with John Hamm. Yeah. $1,425 the bidding's up to so far. For
you would pay that. I know that much.
Easily. Paul Rudd. Lunch with Paul Rudd's over a grand.
Wow.
Gina Gershon.
Yes.
Only $535 for lunch with Gina Gershon. And you know she will do you at the end of the lunch. You know Gina Gershon will do you.
I don't think that's part
she
of the deal.
She absolutely will.
All right.
If you've ever seen her in anything, you know she will do you. Kerry Russell. $1,000 to have lunch with Kerry Russell.
Sure.
What if I could touch her hair?
You could take it to her hockey game, Kevin.
Yes, I could.
Nathan Fillion, star of Castle, new show on ABC, but he was also in Waitress with Kerry Russell, and he was also on Firefly.
Firefly.
That's what he was known
for. Is this 6 degrees of Waitress?
Well, they all work with her,
so
they're
doing
supporting
here?
Her. Kevin Smith, lunch with Kevin Smith, our buddy. What do you think that's going for?
About 4 hours.
Yeah, I know, it'll be that long. But how much would you spend of lunch with Kevin Smith?
I don't know, he's got a pretty hardcore fan base.
Yes, he does.
I would think a grand.
$3,050 to have lunch with Kevin.
Wow.
Anyway, you can go to eBay for more information if you're interested in bidding on one of those. But I might do that Gina Gershon thing because I'm telling you, she will do you.
Okay, you get your choice, Ralph. It's going to cost the same amount. Do you do the Gina Gershon thing or do you do the John Hamm thing, your man crush from Mad Men?
Well, you know, I got to hang out with John Hamm at our April Foolishness on Friday, last Friday. Mm-hmm.
You were hovering more than hanging out.
I was a little loaded, so I think I was a little more overly affectionate than I would have been if I had been sober. I probably would have been cooler.
I did see you kissing his neck gently. I didn't know what that was about.
It started off gently.
So you quenched your John Hamm thirst a little bit.
But here's the thing. Love John Hamm. Super nice guy. I was really pleased to be able to hang out with him. However, little disappointing.
Why?
Why?
Because Don Draper is so much cooler than John Hamm is.
Oh, the character that he
plays?
Yeah,
that's the thing. See, I fell in love with Don Draper on Mad Men. And John Hamm's a real cool guy. He was wearing like a baseball cap, and he wasn't shaving, and he was like hanging out and making jokes and stuff. He was very cool, but Don Draper.
Yeah.
I want to go out with Don Draper.
Yeah, but Don Draper's also effed up beyond belief.
I know. But you go out and have some bourbons with him and he punches somebody and then you just...
Yeah, but he might kill you and steal your identity, though. You got to be careful.
Rail somebody in the back of a 1960 Cadillac. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where's that suit? Looks so sharp all the time.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
A little bit.
Gina Gershon it is, then.
Gina Gershon. Kanye West says South Park hurt his feelings. But it also made him realize he needs to check his ego.
They took him on pretty strongly this past week.
I can't believe that someone has had that effect on Kanye West.
I know.
He wrote on his blog Thursday regarding the South Park episode, in case you haven't seen it, where... it's a long story, but basically there's a joke that sweeps the nation that Kanye West just doesn't get. And he gets very frustrated and angry because he does not get the joke, despite how many times people tried to explain it to him.
Everyone else in the world does, just on him.
And he's the voice of a generation, and he's a genius, and he can't believe that he can't get the joke. A self-professed genius.
Right.
He writes on his blog, South Park murdered me last night, and it's pretty funny. It hurts my feelings. But what can you expect from South Park? I actually have been working on my ego, though. Having crazy ego is played out in my life and career. He realizes now that he has to get past himself, Kanye says.
Wow.
I just want to be a doper person, which starts with me not always telling people how dope I think I am.
Wow, okay.
So maybe Kanye's taking a good hard look at himself. Thanks to South Park.
Omar can help him be a doper person.
Yes, he can. I don't think that's
got the hookup.
I don't think that word means what you're thinking.
I am the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
Okay.
His ego's in check.
Right? Yeah, not too bad.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense is 21 years old today. Mandy Moore. Oh, I love Mandy Moore.
Mrs. Ryan Adams.
That's right. She's 25 years old today. Kyler Lee.
Hey!
Oh, yeah.
Kyler Lee. How do you spell her name?
I think it's Kyler. Lisa would know if she were here. Isn't she on that Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, after Shane Lisa died. Grey's Anatomy, what?
We'll be back on Monday.
What?
Yeah.
She came back from the dead on Easter weekend? That's unbelievable. What are the chances?
That's the only second time that's ever happened. 27 years old today. Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats and the Brian Setzer Orchestra turns 50. Producer and singer Babyface is 51. Steven Seagal. Action star Steven Seagal is 58 years old today, and John Madden, worst sportscaster working today, is
and by worst you mean best,
73.
Like they're like an old bologna sandwich or something. You know, you let it sit around there, you get hungry enough, and pretty soon you eat it.
What the hell does that even mean? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
When's the Heidi Montag album dropping? That's what I want to know.
Well, we've got Spencer in the studio, so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Spencer.
All right. Hey, what's up, Kendall?
Kevin.
Chief. Kevin. How you doing, dog?
Spencer, you've been giving interviews all over town.
That's right, Bobby.
You never met a microphone you didn't like. Where you've been talking up your girl's album, Heidi's album, and you say she is an immense talent. She's more talented than Christina Aguilera and Madonna.
Yep. Correctamundo.
Put together?
Listen, Chief. Let me tell you something, Tiger. This girl is set to take over entertainment as a whole. She is the single most beautiful person that's ever performed music, the most talented dancer, singer, and she has a stage presence that up to this point has not been seen by anybody. She is like the female Elvis, and she is going to rock your world.
Okay, but why the songs that we've heard, like the bad video that you made of her on the beach, why have those songs been so horrible, like unlistenable?
Oh, okay. Hate all you want, brother. Okay, Chief, listen to me.
Well, they didn't.
Hey, Tiger,
the songs didn't
pipe
do
down
anything.
Real quick, pipe down real quick and let the rich guy talk.
Were they number one?
No.
Okay.
But more than
were they in the top 10?
500 trillion people have 20? Watched it on YouTube, and I didn't even release that as an official single. Okay? And Spence,
how many people? I'm sorry, Spence. How many people?
750 trillion.
750 trillion. Okay. All right. That seems like way more people than are on Earth, but okay.
Listen. I didn't even release that as a real single off Spence Dog Records. It was only something that got leaked that we did for us, our own personal enjoyment.
Right.
And still, it was media fanfare over that video. That's what I'm talking about.
People watched it because it was so ridiculously bad. They couldn't believe how bad Heidi was, how bad the song was, how bad the video was.
Sticks and stones, okay? May break my bones, but I still drive a Bentley. Word to your mother.
Now, the very interesting news that Ralph told us in the Showbiz Beat is that you are you're a guest on the album. On
this
the CD.
Is true.
You sing with her? You do a duet?
Big guy. Truth be told, I was involved in every step of the way of her making her record.
Oh, well, that should...
I was always in the studio.
That's probably not good for her.
I had my hands in everything.
Okay.
I was twisting the knobs as a producer.
All right.
I've been doing a lot of the marketing.
Okay.
The distribution.
Right.
Everything being taken care of by Spencer. But, I'm comprehensive.
But and my question
I
was...
I figured, while she's recording some of the tracks, why not go into the studio, crack open the mic, and let the rhymes flow?
So you do a duet with her.
I do three.
You sing with her.
I'm featured on three tracks
three
on
tracks.
Her upcoming album. Yeah.
Okay.
And I figured since we're friends, big guy.
Are we friends?
All right, Chief.
Uh-huh.
Kendall, you and I go way back.
Okay.
And... I figured I might even bring in a little sample of one of those tracks.
Is this,
okay.
this one is, of the songs from the CD that you and Heidi are on?
Correct.
Okay.
This is off Heidi's new album. This is the song that I'm most prominently displayed on.
Okay.
My rapping skills.
Well, rap?
Yeah.
You rap?
Listen.
I thought you sang a duet with her.
No.
Awesome.
Heidi is the R&B sensation in the... In the power coupling that is known as Spidey,
uh-huh.
I am the gangster rapper who spits beats like a vicious machine gun.
Okay. I had no idea.
All right, so she's Mariah and you're Ja Rule on this. Let's hear what it sounds like. What's this song called? Spencer?
Just So Sick.
Just So Sick.
So Sick.
Is this a world premiere? No one else has heard it?
You got it.
All right, here you go.
Yeah. Sing that, my beautiful queen, Heidi.
Pockets get fat, I get thinner. Made me hit the bathroom and puke up my dinner. Spencer.
Rat-a-tat-tat, call me Spencer Pratt. Yeah, like it like that.
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Ain't nobody richer than my boyfriend Spence Dog.
Yeah, dollar-dollar bills that I make on the hills, kid. First name Spencer, last name Pratt. Every single girl I've ever met's too fat. I like I'm anorexic, bitch, with big fake boobies. And poor people have the cooties, ha. Bling, bling, if you know what I mean. I'm like royalty up on the Hollywood scene. Every single day, sipping champagne. Up inside the clubs where I like to make it rain with them $100 the bills. All the girlies know me cause they see me on the hills. What? My flesh colored beard is nice and thick. Call me the flu cause I'm just so sick.
He likes fake cans and real big dollars. My main man Spence is a big time baller.
And it just might trouble you how big the rims are on my BMW. Hitting them corners on the Sunset Strip. Flesh colored flavor saver underneath my lip. And my diamond Rolex goes tick, tick, tick. Call me Spencer Pratt. Cause I'm just so sick. I don't even know your name, kid. Just call you Big Guy, Chief, Champ, Tiger, whatever. Remove that velvet rope for the Spence doll.
Wow.
09, kid. Recognize.
Wow. About that.
Goosebumps all over my body from that.
That's just
not good.
Not good.
I thought it was absolute indulgent rubbish.
Yeah, Simon's got that one right, Spence. Sorry, dude.
Very well, job done, baby.
Oh, well, you got a vote of confidence there.
Yeah, well, what kind of career did those guys have?
That's true.
You're going to need to put your headphones on there.
We'll
and then him. You have a little volume.
He's new to the business.
We'll call him Can.
You have a little volume knob over there to the right of you, and you can turn it up or down,
mm-hmm.
depending on what you want.
I'll turn it up when I talk. When you speak, I'll go ahead and turn it to the left.
Okay.
How about that?
That's what I do. The world-famous K-Rock 106.7, KRQ 725. The Kevin and Bean Show is about to get listable again, ladies and gentlemen. It's the return of the Ace Man, Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Joins us.
How are you, Adam? Always unclear whether to join the clapping when someone else is clapping for you.
I think it's a good idea as long as no one can see. Because
Okay.
then it sounds like
right.
we're clapping.
Yeah,
like
no, wait
people.
A minute.
Right.
Yeah, stupid.
Now, first off, I want to say thank you to your friend, Mr. Bertram, who joined us on stage at the April Foolishness last Friday night. We had a great time with Mr. Bertram. I don't know if he told you that he came by the show, but it was wonderful to see him again.
I coaxed him out of the garage and got him up there, and he was delighted. He told me to tell you guys
Fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
He Good also right, called you the F word.
Frankly, I can't believe he's still teaching. It just seems like with his attitude, he would have been thrown out of most public school systems years ago. But apparently the kids like him.
Well, if you think about your shop teachers from your junior high school days. If attitude factored in, they'd all be out on their ass in the first
yeah,
six
that's
months.
True. That's true.
And as a matter of fact, I don't even know. My junior, every single shop teacher I had in junior high seemed to hate kids more and more each semester.
Yeah.
And I think any job is that way. I mean, I think if you work at a
donut shop. You love donuts your first week. By your 15th year, you will punch someone who says a word that starts with a D. Is that
this
how
drives you crazy? Yes.
Isn't that
yes.
how marriage works? Isn't that how family works? Isn't that how everything works?
You get just, tired of stuff pretty quickly.
You learn to hate it. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like
good
you
point.
Guys right now with this radio show. I'm fresh as a daisy. This is fun for
off.
Me.
Now, Adam, so, you've been doing a podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
And I couldn't help but notice while I was on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
only number one.
Yeah, it's worked out. It's been really nice. I have no idea what the future is for podcasting. But and by the way, it's not... Being number one in the podcast world is like saying, I'm the number one dwarf wrestler in San Bernardino.
Not a lot of competition?
Always good to be number one, but in the podcast world, it, you know.
I don't know. I think you're talking some serious numbers, though. If you're talking about iTunes and they, you know, all over the country, I mean, you're up against, you know, NPR and all sorts of pretty powerful programming. I mean, I think we're talking hundreds of thousands of people, though. That's nothing to sneeze
yeah.
at, Ace.
Yeah, it's definitely a good first start.
And what do you do? I haven't heard one yet. Do you just light farts and laugh? And
thanks for the research.
Huh?
I don't always laugh after I light the fart.
Really?
Sometimes I have a somber fart lighting. You know what I mean? You know, it's
well,
like
for the high holy days, you know, it's you got to be respectful.
I'm saying there's two types of candles. There's birthday parties, and then there's, you know, funerals.
That's
and candlelight
true.
Vigils. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking about it on the podcast. When you take the candle and stick it through the paper plate.
Yes.
Is it ever a good thing? You know that thing where you guys all gather in the town square and you
right.
put the candle through the paper plate? Like, any time you find yourself putting a hole in a paper plate so you can thread a candle to it,
yeah.
something bad just happened or is going to happen.
Or both.
Or both. Happen and then you'll riot with the police. It's never...
Hey.
Just
even,
stop.
Even without the candle, if you're putting a hole in a paper plate, something bad's getting ready to happen. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know, because Ralph was telling me... All right, that's a weekend thing. I used to live with Ralph.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, I know.
So he used to put a hole in a paper
oh,
plate.
Oh, I know.
And it wasn't a Jewish thing either.
No.
It was a totally different ceremony. I wish I had taken a picture of his what was in his nightstand.
Me too. What was it?
Oh, it was like... His nightstand had like a .44, handcuffs, like a Jugs magazine, some like nipple clamps, and a Gatorade. Like it was like the craziest. His nightstand was like it was like really like a group of comedians and porn stars got together and said, "What would be the funniest thing to put in the top drawer of a nightstand?"
And that was what he did exactly.
Yeah.
Like, why does he need a dildo and a rubber chicken? It just seems like he's covered too much ground.
And don't
right?
put it right next to the gun, because somebody's going to break into our house and you're going to attack them with a dildo.
All right, now Adam, I haven't kept up with you since you left our show. I don't know what you've been doing, but apparently I've been told that you're doing a feature called This Week in Rage.
Yes.
And this is Rage Against the Machine?
This is
how
all
does this
the
work?
Things... Well, before I was so unceremoniously dumped off of my radio program, back when I used to do that, we would do this thing called This Week in Rage. So for you guys, you can call it Sloppy Seconds. It was essentially all the stuff that pissed me off throughout the course of the week condensed into just a vitriolic rant.
Fantastic.
That lasted anywhere between 4 and 41 minutes.
Now, we would like to set this up on a weekly basis.
Sure.
On Fridays, you come in and you do This Week in Rage.
Absolutely.
And we will start it when we come back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
Adam Carolla is here in the studio, of course, from the Adam Carolla podcast, and we should give mention to your new CBS sitcom that's going to be debuting, what, probably in the fall, Adam? Is that right?
If all goes as planned, yes. But, you know, it has to get picked up first.
Right, oh, it's right, a slam dunk. There's no way this can fail.
Thanks for the jokes, buddy. Now I will for sure be here every single Friday.
All right, we're very excited to debut this new feature on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's it called? This Week in Rage.
All
do I have
the,
that right?
All the stuff that pissed me off. I'm standing up now.
Oh, no, he's serious now.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, number one... Which is actually number five. I'll give you my top five. I'll work down to number one.
Right.
I was looking at the Us Weekly magazine. And by the way, these magazines, People, Us,
time. How lazy can you be with a title? You know what I mean? Hey, I got a name for a magazine. It's called Them. It's called And. Us. How lazy. Who was in on that meeting? What do we call the magazine? How about us? How about you? Whatever. Let's eat. Julianne Hough was on the cover. Dancing with the Stars hottie. Country star hottie. My ex-dance partner.
Right.
And it was like, diet tips with Julianne Hough. How does she look so amazing? Ladies, how does she do it? 45-year-old fat housewives from Orange County. How does she stay so beautifully in shape? Blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you why. First off, I was with her for 5 hours a day for 3 months. She eats Twizzlers and candy corn. She does not eat anything. And by the way, she has no diet. Her diet is she dances 5 hours a day.
Sure.
She's Mormon and she's 19. She has a metabolism like a chipmunk. It never ends. She eats nothing but junk. It's not like
it's the luck of the DNA draw. She just got so lucky.
The luck of the DNA draw mixed with 5 hours of rehearsal mixed with I'm 19.
Right.
She eats like a goat that got loose in a 7-Eleven. I ask you not. I would just sit there and go, Jesus Christ, sweetie, every day isn't Halloween. Put the pumpkin down. But you're literally just grabbing handfuls of Smarties and pounding them all day and drinking Cokes, and I never saw her do anything. And by the way, the whole time I knew her, she never said, look, here's what you want to do. You want to get your carbs in the morning, then you want to hit some, you want to get a little protein right before we go. Nothing.
None of that.
Handful of sugar-coated crap that glowed in the dark. That's all she ate. And yet she's going to give everyone diet tips. Everything is a lie. Once you realize once you get a peek behind the curtain in this town, you realize everything's a lie.
Everything's a lie.
All right, number two. And on the
now,
same
wait a minute,
topic.
Is number two or is this number four?
Sorry, this is number four.
All right.
I haven't done the bit in 5 weeks. Core training. I'm sticking with the topic here. I'm tired of the core training. I don't like people working on their core. What did you do today at the gym? I did core training. I worked on a core. First off, it's no fun to watch someone do core training. It's like watching someone trying to crap for half an hour. It's no fun. I don't care about your core. I miss aerobics. I miss the chicks jumping up and down and shaking their ass and the parts flying everywhere and the leg warmers. I don't want to see a chick rolling around on one of those giant beach balls working on her core. And also, I also miss the parts training. I miss the part where you'd like go to the gym and you'd get there and you'd go like, all right, arms over there, quads over there, thighs over here, abs, you stay with me, spread out. Like all your parts would just spread out and you'd go spread out. Think about that. It was always like, what are you doing? I'm working arms and traps
sure.
today. Tomorrow I'm going to work calves and thighs. No, now everyone's on their core. And by the way, your core, it's sort of a... Basically, it's one step away from being able to perform oral on yourself. If you think about it, like it's all about me. Think about the symbolism of core training. It's just me. Get away. I'm working on my core.
Yeah.
All right. The other, number three. Yeah, which probably would have been number three no matter what direction
either
I
direction.
Went.
Yeah.
Passover.
Passover?
Passover.
This is what angers you?
Yes, and okay. I'll tell you why. It's right. the hypocrisy. I don't know. Is everyone sitting down? I'm doing a sitcom, so I'm working with a handful of Jews. I don't... They've somehow...
Well, you can't get one on the air without them.
In the last few months, have made their way into the business. Snuck under the Gentile and Asian radar and made it right in the back door of show business. And the guy's celebrating Passover.
Right.
And I'm explaining... You know, he's telling me how it works. He said, I come from a kosher house and this, that, and the other. And I said, well, what happens on Saturday? I mean, you can't use electricity. What if you got to do a load of laundry? And they said, oh, the washing machine's on a timer. And
what?
I said, the washing machine's on a timer. Yeah, I can't flip it on. I can't turn the washing machine on, but it's on a timer. I said, well, what about when you go to the synagogue on Saturday? Who turns the lights on? Oh, we got a Gentile to do that. I said, so wait a minute.
That sounds like a cheat.
You just farm all this crap out? It's like, yeah. I said, we can't mix meat and dairy, but if we want to eat lasagna, we eat it on a paper plate and everything's cool. I said, are you dealing with God or the IRS? What's your plan? You mean you're just going to pull a fast one on God? Hey, sorry, buddy, beat you on a technicality. Really? That's the plan?
Everybody can treat this like they're treating, like they're filling out their tax returns. That's the plan. Beat God on a technicality. And by the way, if I'm God, I'm more pissed that you got the timer. I'd rather just have the guy flip the switch himself and said, look, I've sinned. I flipped the switch. I turned on a light on a Saturday. Not the guy that tried to trick me into an end run.
Sure.
Religion's insane, is it not? It's completely and utterly insane. And it lets me know that these guys don't believe this. Because if you did believe it, you wouldn't be busting out the paper plates to eat the lasagna.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of food and cheese and all this stuff, you notice everything has a flavor other than what it started out as, like pizza. Hey, when I grew up, it was pizza.
Right.
Now it's the Philly cheesesteak pizza. Philly cheesesteak is awesome, but that's the Philly cheesesteak.
Right,
I don't want the Philly cheesesteak pizza. I don't want the hoagie pizza. I want the pizza. It started with the iced tea. It started with the passion fruit iced tea. What flavor do you want your ice? I want iced tea flavor. Call me insane. That's its own flavor. And then it's drifted into bagels where they're... You know, the guy goes on the bagel run, and he's like, all right, I got the jalapeno one, I got the zesty ranch one, I got the blueberry one. I like bagels. I want bagel flavor bagels. Am I insane? When you want a bagel, isn't that its own flavor? Like, you want some iced tea, a pizza, and a bagel. Aren't they their own flavors?
They did all pre-exist before all this,
When did we start mashing all these other flavors up the ass of the other thing? Hey, everybody! You like bagels? Awesome, because this one is chocolate flavored, which, by the way, is called a donut. We already have one of those. And speaking of that, wouldn't this be awesome? Wouldn't a bagel bun be awesome? Do you ever make a hamburger on a bagel?
No.
It's delightful.
Never thought of it.
It's delectable. Once in a while, you use a bagel, except for all the grease drips through the hole in the middle and gets all over the cardigan. How about if somebody made a bun that was a bagel?
A bagel
bun.
No
hole in it. Just the bagel material, all the chewy goodness of a bagel, and a real bagel, not a blueberry bagel, a real bagel, but you could put a burger on it.
Is a bagel a bagel without a hole in it?
Wow. The room's spinning.
That's an existential question. I don't know. One thing I forgot about the days that Carolla used to be at our show is that he has a million-dollar idea about once a week that he just puts out there for free for somebody to cash in on. This is another one.
Who would not buy the bagel bun?
Sounds like
I would buy it.
But here's the problem with the bagel bun. In 20 minutes, Kraft would get hold of it, and they'd start stuffing a new flavor into it. And before you had, know it, it'd have Jimmy sprinkled on it, and it would taste like passion fruit iced tea. I'm just saying, put a burger on a bagel every once in a while. It ain't bad. Just plug that hole up. And please, people, can we just leave the flavors alone?
Got it. So that's four.
Is that four?
That's four.
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ.
Well, you got more than that?
I thought that was it. That's all I got.
Okay, well, that's the top four.
Oh, wait a minute. I got one more.
All right.
Are you ready? Courtroom artist.
Yeah.
You what? I don't like these guys.
Why?
Well, you watch the news and they show they're really bad. First off, they use too much rouge or red in the cheeks. Nobody's cheeks. It's like, what? Santa's being brought up on trial? Nobody's cheeks are that rosy. Number one. Easy, buddy. I know you think you're an artist. Now, here's the rule. The rule is no cameras allowed in the courtroom.
Right.
Are we going to be able to explain this concept to aliens one day? What happened? Well, we don't allow cameras in the courtroom. All right? So what do you do? Well, we get a guy from Knott's Berry Farm to come down there, and he draws everything.
A caricature.
It looks basically the same, but it's a little bit off. Well, then why don't you just take pictures of it? Uh-uh. No cameras. Well, do you not have cameras? Yeah, of course we have. Look, if it's no cameras, no cameras. It's like, all right, look, I don't want you to film me and my wife having sex.
Right.
But you can draw it. No. It's either cameras or no cameras. All right. I know these guys have a real strong union and they make up about 60% of your listenership, so I don't want to offend the courtroom artists. But listen, guys, you should have been out of a gig about 65 years ago. Really, right? Let me ask you.
Come on.
What is hung on longer that should have gone? The courtroom artist or the road flare? A stick that shoots fire out of it that you lay by cars that are turned over with gas pouring out of them. We had reflectors and batteries. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
Still,
Still, every CHP has 20 of these things rolling around in the trunk, and there's a courtroom artist at work as we speak.
That's
probably
true.
Drawing me right now.
That is true.
What
ladies
a gig.
That's fantastic.
Thank
this
you.
Week in Rage, the great Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla podcast through iTunes at adamcarolla.com. We will see you next week, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
God bless me.
Ralph, thank God there's no video of you and Adam living together back in the early poor days where you do anything for money, right?
Dude, there's some photos. I know that much.
I'd watch that forever. That
makes you both kind of nervous a little bit.
I'm not effing you. I was at a K-Rock event. I guess it was Weenie Roast. And a young gentleman came up to me and said, "Hey, look what I have. This is my mom's." And it was a picture of me skinny dipping at night, loaded at the pool at our old house where Adam and Cortland and I used to live. And I said, "Where did you get that?" "Oh, my mom was at one of your parties when she took this picture." I was like, "Dude, I have no idea who your mom is."
That's the best. Did you bang her? Did it turn out?
I must
out?
Have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I must have.
That's awesome. I think I banged everyone who was at that house at one time or another, including Adam Carolla.
Was the kid named Ralph Jr.? Did he mention that when he came up to you?
We used to call it Shea Nude. That was the name of the house.
Shea Nude.
Because at every party, invariably, would end up with just a pool full of just totally loaded naked people. That was sort of the signature of all our parties.
That's a good party.
It was a good party. Good times.
All right. 7:56 Friday morning. That means Ralph is here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It's a little crazy today. We're doing Movie Beat in place of the Showbiz Beat because we're really tight on time. But I do have those tickets I want to give away to the Paley Festival that's happening this month. So we're going to make it simple for you. If you were a fan of Swingtown, the CBS show about swingers, speaking of Shea Nude and being naked in the pool, if you'd like to go, I've got two pairs of tickets for an evening with the cast and creators of Swingtown. If you were a fan of that show, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The first two people who get through and say, "I want to go to Swingtown," win. It's just that simple. So thank you to the Paley Fest people for those tickets. All right, let's talk about what's happening in theaters this weekend. About a half a dozen new movies, including, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Anvil. Anvil is the real-life Spinal Tap, basically. These are heavy metal guys who got together in the 80s. They were a metal band, and they just never made it.
I've never heard of that.
But they just kept going. They've got 13 albums. And
13 albums.
This movie talked. It's a Canadian heavy metal band that's recording the 13th album when they made this film, and they're heading out on tour to support the record. I mean, it is so much like Spinal Tap, it's hard to believe, but it's a real band, and these guys are really sort of in their 40s, pushing 50, and just kind of knocking around. And they still believe in the dream of rock and roll. And they still think they're going to big movie stars, yeah.
Psycho Mike says, "You will cry when you watch this movie."
Is that what you said, right?
This is like King of Kong from a couple years ago. Even if you're not a gamer, if you don't like heavy metal music, if you even hate heavy metal music, you will love this movie. It is so heartbreaking, some of the moments.
I'm not going to cry, by the way.
You will cry.
I won't cry.
You don't have that option.
Did you see it? When did you see this movie?
I saw a screening of it about three weeks ago, and it's unbelievable. It's really, really a well-made documentary.
Well, I'm glad people are inviting the guy who doesn't review the movies to the screenings. I'm glad that makes sense a lot here. Kevin and Bean Show. Also opening this weekend, Dragon Ball Evolution.
Huh?
Dragon Ball. Remember Dragon Ball?
Nope.
You have to remember Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z.
What?
Dragon Ball?
No.
Is that a crazy anime thing?
Yeah, it's an anime thing. Yeah. This time, now it's live action. James Marsters, Yun Fat Chow.
Hey,
Yun
hey.
Chow Fat. Fat Chung Hao. Hey. All those people are all in it.
All three of them?
All three of them. This is a live action based on the popular anime. Here's a scene about some guy named Roshi explaining some prophecy to a guy named Goku.
Hey. If the prophecy is true, in 7 days, the sun will be eclipsed by the blood moon. That will be the beginning of the apocalypse. But finally, I can see. You are the key, somehow. Gohan knew it. That's why he trained you. If what Gohan said is true, this wish may be the only thing that can save our world.
Nope. I'm too confused already. I can't possibly see this movie. My head will explode.
That doesn't seem
He's
like
He's
got
to collect like 7 artifacts in order to keep the sun from being blotted out or something. I don't know. But I bet one of them is a Dragon Ball.
I bet so.
I bet you. Hannah Montana, the movie, opens this weekend. You see, there's this girl named Miley Stewart.
And she looks like the average all-American girl next door, but she's got a secret life, Kevin.
She does?
She's actually superstar Hannah Montana when she puts on a blonde wig and no one knows.
That's all she puts on
That's
is a blonde wig?
That's all she puts on is a blonde wig.
Hmm.
And then she gets to lead a double life. She gets the best of both worlds. She's a regular kid, but she also gets to be a pop superstar. And this is the movie, Hannah Montana, the movie.
Okay.
But in this movie, she has to decide whether she wants to keep living a double life or not. Because she falls in love with a cowboy named Travis. Aren't they all called Travis?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Here's a scene where Travis is talking to Hannah Montana about whether or not he should ask out Miley Stewart. And he doesn't even know that Hannah Montana is Miley Stewart wearing a blonde wig.
So, you and Miley are pretty close, huh?
You have no idea.
You think she'd go out with me if I asked?
You want to go out with Miley?
I can't help but smile when I'm around her.
She'll go ask her out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now.
No. Excuse me. You can't go in there. She's not home. Miley says she's not home. She said something about going to the barn and brushing blue jeans. Yeah, you should go ask her there. Go. Goodbye.
I don't get it. The whole Miley Cyrus thing is lost on me. I guess because I'm not a 12-year-old girl.
For little girls.
But she is hideous.
She's got the llama teeth.
She's got llama teeth and bullfrog eyes. And she's just marginal as a singer and a performer. I don't get it.
I know I'll get mocked for this.
Bean loves her.
Sweet
no,
Jesus.
No, I don't.
Dear
but
God.
That clip you just played from the movie sounds so much worse than anything I've ever seen on the TV show. It seems like a little bit of a
How many of those TV shows have you watched?
I've checked it out. I've seen a few, but it does not sound like a good movie.
That was not a good show. There's nothing good. There's no good here. If you're looking for good, move along. Nothing to see here. No good.
You know she's doing country music now. You know her big hit right now is a big pop and country smash called The Climb, Ralph. That gives you another reason to love Miley.
Called The Clap? What?
The Climb. The Climb.
The Chlamydia? Yes. What? Yeah, it's this is not for me, as you can tell. And she's a bad actress, too, on top of it, but she's got
that
going for her.
A little bit,
yeah. I cannot believe Bill Engvall or Larry the Cable Guy aren't in this film.
Well, her dad is, you know, worse than them.
Billy Ray?
Yeah.
It's because you never watched Doc.
Yeah.
On PAX.
That
show is great.
That show did rip.
Shut up.
Doc on PAX.
Lastly, here's what you should watch this weekend. Observe and Report opens this weekend.
Yes.
Seth Rogen stars as a mall security guard. And I know this sounds familiar. You may remember just not too long ago another mall security guard movie came out. But this one's a comedy. This one is funny. It has humor in it. And people who are actually funny. He has dreams of being a cop. And he has to try to capture a pervert running around the mall who is flashing people. This is all sort of the bare bones plot of this movie. I've seen this film.
Wow.
It is so much darker and more disturbing and creepier than you could ever possibly imagine from what you have read or seen about this
film.
That
sounds good.
This is not a wacky comedy. This is not Knocked Up with Seth Rogen. This is not Super Bad. This isn't, hey, let's go see a funny movie. This is a dark, disturbing movie about a guy who is literally bipolar, who goes off his meds and just things spiral wildly out of control in this film. It is dark and disturbing and hilariously funny.
Awesome.
The weirder and more disturbing it gets, the harder I laughed when I saw this film. But don't go with the kids thinking this is going to be
a laugh riot.
It's not Paul Blart.
It's not lighthearted.
This is not Paul Blart. This is a grown-up movie that is very weird and disturbing. And it is brought to you by Jody Hill, the writer-director who gave you Fist, Foot, Way, if you ever saw that.
Hey,
or responsible for Outbound and
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy with a very skewed perspective on the world. Seth Rogen is hilarious. Anna Faris is great. Ray Liotta, a great cast. But I'm telling you, this is not one of those warm, fuzzy, feel-good comedies.
It's dark funny.
It's dark, 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 weird, twisted, creepy, disgusting funny. But I think you'll enjoy it. So I recommend it highly. Here's a clip from Observe and Report. This is where Ray Liotta, who's a real cop, is dealing with Ronnie, played by Seth Rogen. He's the mall cop. Brandy, played by Anna Faris, has been flashed by this pervert that's going around the mall. And they're both trying to question her, investigate it. They both have their own styles. Ray Liotta's a real cop. Seth Rogen's a mall cop.
I think the best thing to do at this point is I'm going to go talk to the other ladies. You saw the guy.
Ha!
What? Now what?
Are you embarrassed saying that stuff? It's just so much like a cop. It's paperwork. It's
procedures. What I want to know is who's going to protect Brandy? This pervert is some kind of sociopathic genius who plans on coming back here and finishing what he started by murdering Brandy.
Oh, my God. Is that going to happen?
It's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
He's going to murder you, Brandy.
No, it's
oh
not.
Oh, my God.
It's not going to happen.
Die?
No, no.
He's going to murder you, Brandy.
The only reason this movie works as well as it does is because as unlikable a character as Ronnie is, Seth Rogen is equally likable, so they sort of makes it much more palatable for this loser to be rooted for in the course of this film. I laughed my ass off during Observe and Report. And I sat next to Mr. Movie Phone in the screening, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, how about that?
And he wasn't really sure how he felt about it.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how I feel about this movie. If I liked it, tell me one now. If I didn't like it, tell me two now. So, Observe and Report, my recommendation for this weekend. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
You know what I hate? Gout and communism. That's why I shop at the Bachman family of cars, 405 Roscoe Exit. The Smith family goes back four cars, I believe, with the Bachman family because they're a legacy. Like the Lakers. Don't
Thank
be
you,
a goddamn idiot.
Sports guy, buddy. We appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 8:17. The president of Gallup & Motors, Bo Bachman, is here. It's time to Ask a Car Salesman.
Ask a car salesman, when is the best time to buy? We want to get a good deal, but how do we tell that you're not going to lie? Ask a car salesman, how come there's not a set price? There's always two car salesmen. One is always cool, the other one's just not nice. We're gonna ask a car salesman.
Wow.
Some good work by Omar.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bo, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. What's it like trying to sell cars in 2009? Yeah, it seems like it might be tough for you.
Yeah, it's not as fun as it used to be, that's for sure. It's a tough time these days. You know, people worried, are they going to have a job? You know, can I get financed? It's tough.
Yeah, and thinking about, you know, committing to something for at least three years, mm-hmm. 5 years, more,
right.
It's kind of difficult right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are all the dealerships that you have on that corner? You own all of Van Nuys.
Well, we have Galp and Ford, obviously, and Lincoln Mercury, Mazda, Volvo, Jaguar, Aston Martin, Saturn, and Honda now.
All right there. It's the best.
Pretty much, yeah.
Have you, besides the fact that all car sales are down across the board, are you still selling the, are rich people still rich? Are you still moving the Aston Martins and cars like that? Or are even those starting to hurt a little bit?
No, those are definitely off as well. But I'm always surprised someone comes in and buys an Aston Martin today. I mean, we did like three last month, which isn't bad considering what's going on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Six right. The month before. So yeah, there, people with money are still spending it.
Now, we have a million questions about buying a car, and that's what we're inviting our listeners to ask, because everybody has gone through the process.
Ask a car salesman.
Everybody has gone through the process and felt like they should have been better prepared. They should have known more. And we'll get into that in a minute. But I have to ask, since you're here and you're an expert and you're so well, you know, so knowledgeable about the car industry, make sense for me of what's happening with this, with the bailouts and with the General Motors maybe going bankrupt and stuff. I mean, do you think Washington is handling it right and trying to keep the car industries alive, or are they making a lot of mistakes and you're super frustrated to see the way it's unfolding?
It's a bit of both, actually. Frankly, the way that I look at it is General Motors, the car industry, it's an extremely important industry for our country, first of all. And as many mistakes as GM has made, which they've made a lot, there's no doubt about that. To me, they still deserve the loans that are being given to them. And that's the big difference that I don't see in the news. These are loans that are going to be paid back. They're not gifts like these banks are getting, hundreds of billions of dollars. That's money gone.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought these were this is gift too. No,
these are loans that are going to be paid back with interest. So as long as these companies survive, they're going to pay them back.
I see.
And we're friends with like Lee Iacocca. He said paying back the government was one of the most painful things he's ever done because of that fat check that he was writing with all the extra interest on there.
Sure.
But you got to think about, you know, at least with General Motors, they're making something. They're building, you know, if you can build a car, you can build anything.
Right.
And I would hate to lose manufacturing in this country. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean,
we don't make very many things anymore. That's for sure.
Exactly. And that's what's very frustrating. They lead in developing technologies. And they're, you know, and I'm very proud to be with Ford these days, I'll tell you. And that's
you've taken none of the loans or anything, right?
Ford has taken no government money whatsoever. They are doing everything they can not to take any money whatsoever. And they won't unless, you know, the things just collapse.
Unless they have to,
right.
What's the short answer to the people who say, look, we live in a capitalist society, and if a business is does not have a viable business plan, let them go bankrupt and let the market decide which businesses stay and which ones go? Is that so wrong?
Well, in some cases, no. Of course that's not wrong. That's how our system works. But at the same time, if you look at auto manufacturing, the government's had their hand in manufacturing for decades now, you know, ever since the first gas crunches. So they've already put a lot of energy towards that business.
Keeping that afloat.
Exactly. So in normal cases, yeah, they should go under. This is a huge business, though. This is at one time the largest business on the planet. And to lose that would be losing millions of jobs. And that was the problem with the bankruptcy before when they were talking about it. It literally would have caused the industry to implode. And with General Motors going bankrupt, you would have saw the suppliers going bankrupt. You would have no longer been able to build a car in this country, period. So whether it was, you know, Honda, Toyota, Mercedes that all build cars in this country, Ford, nobody would have been able to build anything because the supplier base would have fallen as well. So that is the reason why we were so concerned about the bankruptcy before. Today, we're still very scared, frankly,
yeah, sure,
about what's going on. But at least today it's more controlled. They've loaned billions of dollars now to the suppliers as well to make sure that they're going to be afloat. So this bought us the time necessary, I think, to keep the industry alive. And that's, to me, what's important. Let's keep this industry afloat.
Gotcha.
General Motors will survive, but it's going to be a much different company.
Right.
All right, let's turn it to the guy walking in the lot who wants to buy a car and what he needs to know. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have questions to ask a car salesman.
Ask a car salesman.
And the thing about Bo is obviously he has sold cars, but he knows all facets of the industry. So you got any questions about how it works with buying cars, we want to hear from you. Let me start with this one, and Omar actually brought it up in his intro song. Why is car buying one of the few things that is still haggled over? Why don't you just say, here's how much it costs us to have this car, let's build in a little bit of profit for us, and let's sell the car, and there's no negotiating, that's how much it costs, like everything else I buy. What's going on with cars?
Well, when we started with Saturn, you know, 20 years ago, that was exactly the premise. It was a no haggle, no hassle, you set the price, and that was set at MSRP. And, you know, the customers that came in, they loved the process. I mean, they were good cars. They weren't the best cars, but
right,
they really created a strong following because it was so easy to do business with. And yeah, we would love to be able to do that. The problem is with as many facets that there are, you know, the lowest price isn't always the best deal in a car because it is so complicated. You're talking about the price of the car, the financing, that there's leasing, there's extended warranties, there's accessories. So it's not that simple. Would I like it to be that easy? Of course. I mean, it'd make my life a million times easier.
Yeah.
Because it has to build in expectations sometimes for the consumer that you can't meet because they come in and no matter what your low price is, they think, well, they're just giving me a line. I should be able to get them down lower. And in some cases, you can't. That has to be a frustration on both sides, I would think, the way it is now.
Oh, of course it is. And, you know, the other thing is some people love to negotiate. I mean, that's just what they do. So even if you come in at a one price, they're going to want to get something that's better. I mean, that's just part
of
human nature.
They're going to think it's higher anyway, so they need to knock some more off of it.
It's still human nature.
Yeah.
You want a better deal. And you're talking about an item that costs tens of thousands of dollars, not a couple hundred dollars.
Right.
I mean, the markup in your T-shirt is double. You know, we work on razor thin margins. Yeah.
All right, let me ask you one more question before the break, and then we'll get to calls. When people advertise that they're selling cars and they're losing money on every car that goes out the door, that's how low these prices are. Are they lying, or is it possible that that ever happens?
It is absolutely possible today that that is true. I mean, right now is a very unique market.
It's just trying to move vehicles, and that is better than
supply and demand is alive right now. So you're seeing a lot of cars that are in the marketplace right now that dealers are we're blowing out right now. It's a unique time to buy a car.
It's a great time to buy a car.
If you can buy a car today, and I mean, it is the best time to buy a car. Just like right now, if I could buy a house, I would buy a house right now. I mean, it's a great market.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good times. 1-800-520-1067. We're very excited about this. This is one we've been doing for a long time. We're glad to have our friend Bo Bachman in the studio with us, the president of Galpin Motors. If you want to ask a car salesman, give us
ask
a call.
Ask a car salesman.
And we'll talk to you next after this on K-Rock.
Ask a car salesman, when is the best time to buy? We want to get a good deal, but how do we tell that you're not going to lie? Ask a car salesman, how come there's not a set price? There's always two car salesmen. One is always cool, the other one's just not nice. We're gonna ask a car salesman.
Yeah, Omar still got it. Bo Bachman is here. He is not a communist. He is, in fact, the president of Gallopin Motors, which, of course, is on Roscoe Boulevard in North Hills with all those great dealerships out there. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you always feel a little bit dumb when you go to buy a car and there's something you always wish you could ask a professional, now's your chance to do it.
Now, we don't expect Bo to talk bad about his own dealerships. I know Bo, and he's a great guy, and I felt like I was getting a great deal when I went there because he's a great guy. But all of these questions are pretty much in just general. When you walk into any car dealership and they do this or whatever, so don't feel like you have to badmouth your own people.
Let's start with George in Inglewood. He's on line 6 on the Kevin Bean Show. George, thanks for hanging on. Your turn to ask a car salesman. Go ahead.
What's going on, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May?
Hi there. Ask a car salesman.
Hey. All right, I'm trying to buy a Challenger right now. Is it worth it of buying it?
Is it worth it?
Yeah, well, right now with the market and everything in, it's about $42,000 for the SRT8.
You know, the Challenger is a cool car. I would recommend looking at a Mustang. We got the new 2010 that's coming out, which is fantastic. But, you know, right now there is – the cars are in the marketplace. So can you get a great deal on a Challenger? Absolutely. There is one good thing about the government kind of stepping in on this, and that is they are backing the warranties of GM and Chrysler if they do go out of business. So you do have some protection there, which is good. It's also kind of good because they're saying, well, we know Ford's going to be around, so we don't have to worry about them because they're going to be there to back up their own stuff, which is good.
What do you think about the new Camaro that's coming out?
I think it's pretty cool looking, actually. I have not driven the car, and they're not going to come out with the performance version or a convertible at this time, unfortunately, due to our government situation. But, you know, I've driven the new 2010 Mustang. I'm going to try to sell my own stuff here, by the way.
Sure.
Sorry. And it's phenomenal. So, I'm a Mustang fan. Sorry.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Caesar in L.A. He's on line 5 on the Kevin Bean Show. Caesar, you're on with Bo Bachman. Go ahead.
How are you guys? Good morning. I'm in the market right now for a Range Rover, and the freaking car salesman guy only knocks off $1,000 off of the listed price. Generally speaking, what's the average dollar amount that I could knock off or negotiate with? Maybe best case scenario, worst case scenario, or generally speaking?
Yeah, there's not really a general because, it is, again, it goes back to supply and demand. What are the incentives that are coming from the manufacturers?
But how does he know that?
Well, I mean, everything's on the internet these
days.
You go on to like at Edmunds.com, they're going to show you what the invoice is. They're going to show you generally what the cars are selling for. And, you can generally find on there what type of manufacturer's incentives are going on. So
you can tell if they can knock a little more off because they're getting incentives from whatever the...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I'm talking about a used car.
Oh, on a used car, then, it's every used car is individual. So it's...
Do you make more, though? I mean, in general, do you make more on a used car?
You can make more and you can lose more, but generally you got a little bit more of more room on a used car.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, is that a good deal? I have no idea. You'd have to look at the car. You'd have to see, what shape it's in, what the book is. Has it, true miles? Is it a salvage? Those are all things you want to be very careful of. You want to get like a Carfax or something similar to that as well.
Right. Thank you for the call, Caesar. Jason has a great question. He's in Placentia and he's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jason, you're on with Bo Bachman. Ask a car salesman.
Yes?
Hi there.
Hi.
I was calling. I have a question because I know that there's the two sides of the dealership. There's the fleet dealer and then there's the regular salesman. Do you really get a better deal when you buy through the fleet side of the dealership?
No.
I've always heard that.
Yeah, that's kind of a bunch of BS is the whole fleet department. Unless you are buying a fleet of cars, there is commercial accounts where they have separate financing and separate incentives for businesses that buy multiple vehicles. So that is what a proper fleet is. A lot of dealerships set up a fleet department as if you're going to go in and buy a fleet. But unless you're buying a fleet, you're not going to buy from fleet. So it's
still to be the same.
It's the same thing.
Same as it was the other way. Okay.
Let me ask you this, and then we'll take a break and come back with more calls for Bo Bachman. Is there a day of the week that's best in general, or is there a time of the month that's best, or a time of the year that's best to get a good deal?
Well, they typically today there have, quote, you know, the sales that are around the holidays and those types of things. You know, we get most of our business at the end of the month because there, you know, there really is that push to make the numbers to, you know, so there's some truth to the end of the month, end of the week.
But so rather than the 5th of the month, you should go on the 25th of the month or 30th, and then you'll actually work a little harder to make a better deal or no?
It depends. There are some times where the manufacturer will say, hey, if you hit so many numbers, we're going to give you so many dollars. So, yeah, there is that kind of psychological incentive at the end of the month. But honestly, it shouldn't make a difference now.
Okay.
Interesting. And how about when the new models come out? Is that a great time to buy last year's model?
Typically, yes. Because, you know, we're looking to move out the, you know, we have to pay for the cars when they're sitting on our lot. So we're paying flooring while it's sitting there. Our incentive is to get it moved out as quickly as possible. So when we've got old inventory, we've got to get it out.
Is there any time when you hand them out for free? like Halloween?
Not so much.
How about a buy one, get one free? How about that?
That actually, in some parts of the country, the incentives were big enough where some dealerships were doing that.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. All right. We're going to take a break. We got one more segment with our guest, Bo Bachman. He is the president of Galpin Motors. You can give us a call if you want to ask a car salesman.
Ask a car salesman.
I got to quit saying that. At 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on. Bo Bachman is here from the Galpin Fine dealerships, and we are asking a car salesman. Here's one from the email.
Ask a car salesman.
Sorry, a little slow. I apologize.
Before we go back to the calls here, Bo, and maybe you hear this all the time, maybe this is something you fight at the dealership, you tell me. William says, ask Bo why American-made or designed cars are so poorly made. A few thousand miles or a couple years, it seems to me that everything starts to rattle or fall apart. I own cars from the big three for a long time, but I got burned so much that now I only buy Toyota or BMW products. What do you think about that?
I think that's an awesome question. The reason is because that is a total myth today.
It's not true?
Absolutely not true. Was it true a decade ago? Yes, absolutely. But you got to be current today. Ford is in a statistical tie with Honda and Toyota for their quality. And believe it or not, Lexus just got knocked out of the top spot of J.D. Power by Buick and Jaguar.
Really?
So Lexus is no longer at the top of the quality, and American and English / Indian is. So
it's so weird to hear Jaguar being talked about that's been the reputation, or was the reputation, for so long, as you have nothing but problems with those if you buy them, but not anymore, it sounds like.
And that was the truth, and you know, it's a new reality today.
Why do they say Jaguar? Why do they do that?
Because they're British.
Tell them to stop it. No. It's not Jaguar.
Jaggy.
Let's talk to Michelle in Cerritos. She's on line 7 on the Kevin DeBean Show. Your calls for Bo Bachman at 1-800-520-1067. Michelle, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Wondering how come CarMax can provide an easy, no haggle and relaxing new car buying experience, and regular car dealers like yours can't.
Are you reading that? Nobody talks like that.
Well, they do that, and they actually price their cars really high.
Oh,
so if you were to come in and shop a comparable car against what we're offering, I promise you we will beat the deal at CarMax.
That is not true, because I bought my Jeep Commander from CarMax, and I had gone to the dealer first. And once I went to CarMax, I bought it for about $6,000 less.
Well, again, every used car is different, and you never know what the differences are unless you shop them
car by car. It's a brand new car.
Oh, it's a new car.
Yeah.
Well, again, every dealership is different. I'm talking about my dealership, by the way. They do have some Chrysler stores, and Chrysler right now, I mean, the incentives and what they offer there is ridiculous. So to me, that's a dealer that was really not on his game.
Is it – I don't know how to ask this question. It feels like when you go buy a car, for most people, it's a difficult – thing, because you got to haggle and you don't know what's going on, and then the salesman leaves and acts like he's going to go talk to the manager, and they're probably back there having a smoke, and no matter what a good deal you have, you feel like you've just been violated when you leave. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking
about. That whole
about.
Thing, it just seems like there's so many variables that there's no way you can know them all, so you can't really get a good deal.
Well, you can get a good deal, but it is extremely complicated to buy a car these days. There are so many different incentive programs that every single deal, we have to put it into Ford's computer and see what all the incentives are for that particular customer, for that particular car. Because if you're a college graduate, you might get a deal, a special rebate, or military, or those types of things. And then on top of that, with financing, it has become incredibly complicated as well. So we've got to get all the information, submit that to the bank, get a level so we know you know, what interest rate to charge. So it's not as easy as it looks.
So you're not just sitting around back there drinking and going, all right, I guess it's been long enough. I'm going to go out and talk to him now.
Oh, it is so complicated to buy a car these days.
Do
and
you guys
I wish
make it complicated, though, so that the advantage is with the dealership and not with the consumer?
No, we hate that it's complicated. I'd rather have it easy. I'd rather have it transparent because when things are complicated, that's when people think, oh, I'm getting screwed or this right. or that. You know, I like things being out in the open, and I would prefer it that way.
It can't be good for business long term if people feel that way.
No, and it's true of you know, all car dealerships. It's just that way to buy a car, unfortunately.
Yeah. Let's talk to Rachel real quick. We're almost out of time, but she's in Santa Monica on line 4, and she's calling about something I've heard in the news, and I want to get your thoughts on, Bo. Hi, Rachel. You're on Ask a Car Salesman.
Hey, I have a O2 Escape right now, and I got this letter from Ford asking to buy it back so I could upgrade. And I'm just wondering, is that legit? Are they going to give me a good deal on it? Well, I mean, is there really a demand right now for O2 Escape?
I don't know if you got one from Ford Motor Company or the dealer that you purchase it from. Most likely it is the dealer. And like we've got programs right now that, you know, we send out information for that we say, yeah, with no money out of your pocket, we're able to lower your payment on a brand new car that is the same that you're driving today because our incentives are so ridiculous right now. So that could actually be very true. But that's probably from a dealer, not from Ford Motor Company.
So you could actually have be driving a car that's a few years old and then move up to a new one and pay less.
That is correct.
Wow. All right. Great call. Before we go, Bo, we have to ask, now that Tony Arnott has retired.
Yes.
What happens? I mean, he's the guy who's been the keeper of the crown for all these years with the battle to sell the cars. What's going on with that? Where are we?
Yeah, after 42 years, Tony finally retired.
We not can't
finally,
let...
40 years, excuse me, and not finally. You know, God bless him. I miss him. And he was gone for 2 weeks and then came back for a week to do training with us. So
oh,
he's,
did he?
He's crazy that
well,
way.
Well, we can't let the crown go to Ohio or wherever it is.
No, absolutely not.
All right.
Now it's squarely on my shoulders. They've got to make sure we keep the sales crown here in California.
Dude.
Make everyone proud because this is the 20th year, too.
Yeah, oh.
Now, what happens
that would
if we
suck
lose
to be the first guy? I'm not even saying.
I can't.
What happens if we lose the crown, though? I mean, do you literally get strung up and shot? I mean, what happens to you?
I don't even want to think about it because it'd be that bad.
You're like the Yankees manager who comes in after Torrey and doesn't make the playoffs. I mean, it has to really suck to be you.
They will slaughter me if this doesn't happen. So please, I will take care of everybody personally if you'll just come in and buy a Ford for me.
All right. Now, we're out of time, but I do want to ask one last question. And that is, what is the thing that most people don't realize that you wish they did, like would make their lives easier, make them feel better about it or whatever, that no one seems to think about? Is there something out there?
Well, I think that, you know, when you're looking at a dealership, there's good dealerships, there's bad dealerships, there's good salespeople. They're just like people. So you want to find someone that you're a dealership that you know who they are. Do they help in the community? Are they good people? And then just do the best you go in there in good faith. And if you meet a good person, you stick
with
them.
Yeah.
And if you meet some guy that's kind of a sleazy, you get the heck out of there.
Yeah. I got to tell you one last thing. Speaking of good people is that Bo has been a supporter of our charity, my wife and my charity, Friends and Helpers, for how many years since we met him?
Yeah.
And doesn't ever ask to be mentioned on the air, doesn't want anything, just is very, very giving and just says, pretty much asks my wife how much she wants. And I think my wife's taking advantage of him now. But that's a really cool thing to do. And to not, you know, want that in return is rare.
Well, that's the point of giving is to do it
not
for the right
people.
Reasons, yes.
But thank you for that. That's awesome.
My pleasure.
Bo has been our guest, the president of Galpin Motors. If you need a Ford, a Lincoln, a Mercury, a Honda, Volvo, Mazda, Saturn, Jaguar, Aston Martin, or something from the Galpin Premier Collection, you know where to go. It's galpin.com. Thanks for coming in, dude. We'll keep in touch, right?
Thanks, guys.
I'm Nora Wells with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Nora. It's 8:57 now, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Goodbye, Nora.
Bye, Nora.
We'll miss you. Come back soon.
Dave found some pictures of her on the internet of her in a schoolgirl outfit, and I'm telling you what, it's really made traffic enjoyable for me to hear her this week after I saw that photo.
I'm telling you what,
yeah.
You don't tell me what, I tell you what.
What?
What?
There, I just told you.
You did, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Wow, no time, run out of time. But I do have tickets to give away to Big Love, an evening with Big Love, thanks to the Paley Festival. 2009, this is the William Paley Television Festival, where we get to get a chance to spend an evening with the creators and cast of some of our favorite television shows. It's going on all through this month and into early May. Big Love is the show we're talking about today. April the 22nd is the night with Big Love cast and creators. I've got two pairs of tickets to give to some Big Love fans. I don't know if you watch that show over on HBO about the Mormons. Very entertaining show. Bill Paxton stars. He's great. He plays Bill Hendrickson in the show, who is living a polygamous life. You know, the Mormons, they used to have a bunch of wives, you know.
Yes, they did.
And Bill still lives his life that way. Just call me now at 1-800-520-1067 and give me the name of his three wives. Give me the names of his three wives. And then you'll win a pair of tickets if you're one of the first two callers to get through to do that, okay? It's just that simple. Well, there's a guy in Jersey who says that the boss has ruined his marriage.
And that's a bummer.
The boss has ruined his marriage.
This guy, Arthur J. Kelly, filed paperwork to get divorced last month, claiming his wife has committed adultery with Bruce Springsteen.
What?
At various times and places too numerous to mention.
How about that?
This guy claims that the rock legend had an affair with his wife and listed Springsteen as the major reason for the couple's divorce.
That has dogged Mr. Springsteen a couple of times in his career, Ralph.
Well, he did cheat on his first wife.
On Julianne. That, yeah.
Julianne Moore. No, what was her name?
I don't think
Julianne,
it was
Margulies.
Margulies, right. No, some other Julianne.
Off.
Julianne Off. No.
It sure, doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. And then he married of course, Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, I don't think so, right?
Have you ever seen photos of his wife?
Yeah.
What's he doing? Leaving the model, Julianne Margulies Hoff Smith, to hook up with Nancy Griffin. I have no idea. Nancy Griffin?
Kathy
Griffin.
I don't think so. Yeah.
And then he supposedly had sex with a 9/11 widow he met at a benefit show.
Well, she was hurting.
Wow.
She was after he was done with her.
Oh!
And then now this broad. Now Bruce has denied it, saying it's an unfounded and ugly rumor, and says his marriage to Kathy Griffin remains as strong as the day we were married.
It's not Kathy Griffin.
Have
it's
you
Patty
seen
Scalfa.
The
Patty
pictures?
Scalfa. They look alike, but it's not the same person, though, is what
Patty
we're
Scalfa
saying.
Patty Scalfa wishes she was as good looking as Kathy Griffin. That's all I'm saying.
Did Bruce have a comment, Ralph?
He did.
He said, this is what happens when you're married to a woman looks like Ronald McDonald.
We have a winner to your trivia, both of them.
We do?
Yes, we do.
Oh, my goodness.
Go to Justin in Los Angeles.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Justin. Name me Bill Hendrickson's three wives.
Barb, Nikki, and Margene.
Barb, Nicolette, and Margene. That's correct. Congratulations. You're going to spend an evening with all of those people and the creators of Big Love, thanks to the Paley Center for Media.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well done.
Myra from Glendale also got that.
Myra. You don't meet a lot of Myras anymore.
That's true.
It's a good old-fashioned name. Myra. Robert Pattinson, is saying that he is barely in the sequel to Twilight.
This is bullshit.
What?
According to In Touch magazine, his character Edward Cullen, the vampire, doesn't have a huge role in New Moon, so he won't have a ton of screen time.
Based on the character's appearance in the book, maybe.
Apparently, yeah. It's mostly between Kristen Stewart, and Taylor Lautner. Who I guess plays someone of importance.
Taylor Lautner?
Yes.
Does good work.
Is that Jacob, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know,
Well, isn't that the deal? It's like a love triangle between...
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, next time you're at the book fair, why don't you ask and find out?
Ms. Taylor says yes.
I think there are a lot of girls out there going, yeah.
Megan Fox is a big comic book fan. You know what? Big comic book geek. She's a big comic book geek.
Really?
Suck it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really. How about that?
That's not right.
It is right. So right. So very, very right. She's been connected up with a couple different comic book big screen movies. There was talks at one time of her playing Fathom, rather, on the big screen. And now she's in the talks to play She-Hulk.
Yeah! She-Hulk.
If you guys are familiar with She-Hulk.
Not at all.
But She-Hulk is the female version of the Incredible Hulk.
Could have guessed that, but is it?
Smoking hot chick who turns into a giant green smoking hot chick.
Oh. Yes.
Was there successful was that comic book line?
It's very successful. It's still ongoing today. Yes, very popular. So I would love to see Megan Fox turn into a giant green monster. Because the thing with She-Hulk is, because she gets big, all of her clothes gets really tiny. She's got massive cans and stuff and everything.
All right.
Look at Mike. Look, he's going to have an orgasm right there.
Explosion.
You got a giant muscle bound woman who could dominate him.
Who starts off as
Megan Fox. Megan Fox.
Yeah,
it's everything you could ever want to.
everyone I hope for in a Mike Wet Dream.
Sweet!
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah,
Mike's Wet Dreams, by the way. Coachella.
That's true. Yeah. Just added.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense is 21 years old today. Singer-actress Mandy Moore turns 25. Comedian Orlando Jones is 41 years old. Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats and the Brian Setzer Orchestra turns 50 years old today. Steven Seagal.
We should have talked to Doto today about Steven Seagal's birthday.
If we could only get him on the
Taiwan. He's in Taiwan.
He's right Taiwan?
He's Taiwan.
He is Taiwan.
He's 58 years old today, and longtime football sportscaster John Madden is 73 years old.
Looks like one of those glass things that you pick up and you turn it upside down, and then it goes.
Couldn't think of snow globe, apparently.
No wonder he's Kevin's hero.
Yeah, really.
He's the me of football announcing.
I wish I had time to talk about Kevin.
What? You don't have time. It's too late. Whatever it is, it's too late.
Will it hold for Monday?
I guess.
We're out of time.
Someone just sent me an interesting email about Kevin's interpretation of that BBC documentary about the
we've got
the
a
fake
ton
babies.
Of those.
Yeah. Did you watch the documentary,
Kevin?
I did. Did you watch it at all?
It was pretty tragic, though.
Yeah, but not as tragic, apparently, as you made it out to be.
Okay.
We'll talk about that on Monday.
It's possible that I was wrong.
Yeah. Comprehension.
I've learned to say that these days.
I think maybe.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
That's probably true.
That's probably true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. It's our favorite time of the whole week. We get to sing a little song and go home.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Bon voyage. Goodbye.
We're playing.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Freebird!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hang on tight, spider monkey!
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Oh, I can't believe it's not butter!
This seems to be about to quit.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna need a bigger boat!
Another hit.
Our friend Cat Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. I'm not even going to look, but I'm going to guess that Sublime, Smashing Pumpkins, and how about Pearl Jam coming up straight ahead here on K-Rock.
Roll,
roll. Blinded me with science.
I don't have another cent.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
But don't bogart that joint.
Look, kids, it's Big Ben.
Just pass it around.
Bogart. Kelly Clarkson.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Peanut butter jelly time.
But just pass it on down.
Don't bogart.
And scene.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank yourself. Before you go, let me leave you with one thing. You will always regret this, and you will never be anything that's worthy of anything.
Fuck you.
This was exhausting. This whole experience was absolutely exhausting. You are absolutely the most insufferable group of jackasses I have ever had the misfortune of spending an extended period of time with. I hope you all die.
I think they are going to. I can't believe it's over already. That's not fair.
That guy sure loves his pony. That's the one thing I'll tell you about him. All right. There's this new invention now. I think Al Gore came up with it. It's called the Internet. And there's a lot of cool stuff on there. You could literally waste your whole day on the Internet. And KROQ.com is a fantastic place to start. We are doing our best to put new stuff up all the time on the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com. In fact, Kevin and Bean give you a hand. Job page has taken off like wildfire, Kevin. I don't know if you've looked lately. Tons of new jobs out there for KROQ listeners.
Yeah, if you're looking for work, that's a good place to go because they know they're advertising to people who like KROQ.
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, if you have a job to offer, please go and post it there as well. We've had great success with that. David King of Mexico puts up a steady stream of videos in the Internet Roundup section. Zac Efron's pool party, very funny. If you haven't seen that, it's the new one from Funny or Die. The Fast and the Bi-Curious from this weekend, Saturday Night Live with Seth Rogen. You can see that up there. There's a Ukrainian polka band doing a Katy Perry song cover that's very funny. I'm not even going to tell you what human exercises with poodles is. You just got to see that one to believe it. Kevin, you're handling the Billy Bob is a Jerk video. What's that all about today?
Well, apparently Billy Bob Thornton, who has a band, was doing an interview with somebody in Canada, and supposedly they had told him not to mention the acting. Whatever you do, don't mention the fact that he's an actor. And okay. I guess in his introduction of Billy Bob, he mentioned some of the movies that he had been in. So Billy Bob decided to just be a total jerk to this guy.
Now, this is interesting because it's not like the guy spent the whole interview talking about acting, which you can understand Billy Bob wouldn't want to do if he's there to promote his music. He just mentioned, hey, as a point of context, Billy Bob Thornton, yeah, the actor guy has a band and now they're here.
Right. And so then the rest of the time he was trying to talk about the music, but Billy Bob was angry. And so this is how that sounded.
Billy Bob, you guys formed only in the last couple of years, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
How so?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, when did the band form?
I'm not sure what that means.
Oh.
Yeah, when did the band form?
That's a tough question.
I'm not sure what that means.
So he's just stonewalling at this point. He's pissed off. He just doesn't want to even be there anymore.
But this is the odd part. The guy's trying to talk about his music. And by the way, trust me when I say we have all been in this situation where whoever you're interviewing hates you. And that happens. And it sucks. And this guy's trying desperately to get this interview back on track.
And by the way, the Boxmasters, you know, is a mediocre band. They wouldn't be being interviewed if it weren't for Billy Bob Thornton's success as an actor and writer.
Right. So then they start talking. He asks them some more questions, and Billy Bob only gets worse.
What do you learn from Willie Nelson, Billy Bob?
I've never met him.
Are you being ironic, or are you being serious?
I don't really know him.
You've never met Willie Nelson?
Well, I said hello to him once. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. You guys don't really hang out on tour.
I don't know
what I mean.
No.
Yeah.
See, because the Boxmasters are opening for Willie, and even if Billy's never met him, it would have been an opportunity to say, well, he's taught me about being a great entertainer, or how to play guitar.
Or something.
Clearly, that's not a bad question, and Billy Bob is going out of his way to not answer.
So now this dude is trying to, he's saying, okay, how do I save this interview? I'm going to go back to Billy Bob's childhood and ask him about his musical interests from when he was a kid.
And that was true for you, Billy Bob, growing up? It was a sort of a combo of Stones and Monkees and Buck Owens?
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
And you almost became a professional baseball player, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
But you didn't love music when you were a kid?
I subscribed to a magazine called Famous Monsters of Filmland, which the publisher was a guy named Forrest J. Ackerman, who passed away recently.
Now, the problem with an interview like this is that the guy doesn't have the Stones. And it's a really difficult thing to look someone in the eye and go, if you don't want to be here or somehow I've offended you, you don't want to talk, you know, thanks for coming, but we don't need to keep this up.
Right.
It's difficult for him to say that. So he asked him about his musical influences when he was a kid, and Billy Bob starts talking about this magazine.
Do you remember what you were listening to musically when you were a kid?
They had a contest where you could build your own model. And it could be like a King Kong, or it could be, this was like a thing, you could create your own world of it, you know, build telephone poles, make the railroad tracks and everything.
Where's the music fit into that?
Music? No, it was a Monster magazine.
Right, right. But given that you seem to be quite passionate about music, I was wondering about your...
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
Now, I think this is a reference to earlier in the interview, I guess Tom Petty, I guess he described this as kind of a hobby.
I think the impression that Billy Bob got or was trying to make it look like he got is that you're suggesting I'm not serious about music, that this is just something I do on the side. You'd never suggest that to Tom Petty, that it doesn't mean everything in the world to him. So, again, he's just continuing to turn on the dictum.
Would I say that he's passionate about music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Would you explain why it's not a hobby?
Would I explain why it's not a hobby? Are you reacting to the fact that I said
that? Yeah, I am. I am. Since you're instructed not to talk about like that, yeah, I am reacting to that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He's
it's on.
The best.
Now it's on.
Billy Bob.
Asshole.
Ralph, I know you're not here for the showbiz beat. What's going on? What's happening with you?
PETA.
Oh,
oh wow.
That's what I'm here for.
Hey, it's time for our Ralph Brand.
One man, one quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
So PETA's got you angry again.
It's not the first time.
Nope.
It won't be the last.
Nope, unfortunately.
But it's time once again to discuss PETA, which of course stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. But I think they really need to change the name of their organization to People for the, hey, look at me, what a clever mother am I.
Okay. Ralph, you're going to have to watch your language because I know you're angry, but we can't use that language.
But you have to when you talk about PETA.
Okay.
Okay. This isn't, you're not still sore about them wanting us to call fish sea kittens, right? You're past that.
I am past that. But along the same lines, there's a couple brand new reasons to be cheesed off at PETA.
Let me just explain quickly for people who don't listen to the morning show much, is PETA to us is a, they have a great cause that they do a great.
I love animals.
That they do a great disservice to, by the way they do it.
I love animals, and PETA supposedly is an organization that is supposed to in some way represent animals and their well-being.
Right.
And yet, nothing they do seems even tangentially connected to that cause. All of it seems to be, hey, look at us, aren't we a bunch of and I can't understand how that particular path that they've chosen is helping animals in any way.
How does that serve their interest?
Case in point, today they have announced that they are petitioning the British electro-pop way gay duo, the Pet Shop Boys. That's right, the Pet Shop Boys. You may remember them from being popular, I don't know, 25 years ago.
Right. Are they still together? Are they still
are.
A band?
Yes.
Okay. Still making records. Yeah.
They are asking the Pet Shop Boys, in a written request, to please change their name to the Rescue Shelter Boys.
That's a joke.
Nope.
There's no way that's real.
Nope.
Really?
It is absolutely real. They say by changing its name, the band could raise awareness that pet shops are cramped, filthy places that breeders keep animals in to sell them to unsuspecting people who are getting sick and diseased animals. And that's how they're going to get that message out.
And, this
the,
can't be
the
real.
The Rescue Shelter Boys.
Can't be real.
Okay.
And they also like to change their name from their hit song West End Girls to West End Sea Kittens. listen, you listen to
Ralph,
me.
Ralph, you have to watch your language.
Listen to me. Stop it. Whatever energy you're spending in the little coffee house where you're hanging out, drinking your chai latte, letting your arm hair grow underneath your arms, ladies with your Birkenstocks on and your Coke bottle glasses and your friends with the long flowing hair and he smells vaguely of patchouli and he's wearing tattered cargo shorts that he wore when he was in the Peace Corps. And you're all sitting together, smoking your clove cigarettes, patting each other on the back for all clever you are for asking the Pet Shop Boys to change their name. 27 kittens have just been killed by somebody. Do something. Do anything that helps your cause other than make people hate you. How does us hating you help a dog?
That's a good question.
Along those lines, today at noon, six members of PETA were outside the Canadian consulate here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Six members were dressed as bludgeoned baby seals.
Yeah.
They wore faux, of course, faux fur coats, covered in blood to illustrate what happens to hundreds of thousands of baby harp seals on the ice floes off of Newfoundland and Labrador.
Now, that sounds like a good cause. That sounds like something that if people stopped and thought about it, they would try to get people to quit beating seals with a club, right?
Yes. Canada said, oh, we had no idea. Six people were dressed as baby seals. That's our consulate. We will stop doing this forever. Congratulations, PETA. Oh, no, wait a minute. You know what they said? They said, look at those dressed as club seals with fake blood all over them. What a bunch of douchebags. Didn't help your cause one little bit.
It does seem like there are a lot of ways to be positive and to help and to make change.
Hey, you know what Greenpeace does?
This isn't one
they
of them.
They get it. Boat and they go out there where the seals are actually being clubbed and say, hey, you Canadian mother, stop it. See, they do something. You know, sometimes they get in between like Japanese fishing trawlers and pods of whales and stuff, and they actually
help the situation. It'll dress up as Shamu and parade down to San Diego and get a snow cone and say, oh, look me. I'm a giant whale. I need a snow cone. Help the cause. They don't do that. They do things that make a difference.
That seem to help.
So I would like to extend a hand and say if PETA would like to protest a Canadian clubbing of baby seals again, I will do my part by coming down there with an axe handle and personally clubbing six members of your organization until they're a bloody pulp. And in that way, we can demonstrate how horrific it is for a living thing to be beaten to death with an axe handle.
Now you're making a demonstration that gets people to attention.
Now okay. I can help somehow.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. And it's a big month for that band right there, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, brand new album in stores, available for download now. They are playing Coachella next weekend, and they are the musical guest on tomorrow night's Saturday Night Live with Zac Efron as the host. How about that? So if you're a Yeah 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 fan, you definitely want to check that out. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
Are you excited? Zac Efron's going
to
be on
Hell to the Yeah. New movie comes out next weekend, you know.
There's just not enough lotion in the world to keep you happy next couple
17
weeks.
17 again. Can't wait, my sweet Zac.
That's how many times you're going to... Zach, is it 17? 17 again?
Wow.
Stop it.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
Wordplay. Hey, have you seen the new commercial, the new Burger King commercial with the King doing a little Sir Mix-a-Lot?
A little rap?
Yeah, he is selling the new SpongeBob SquarePants kids meal.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Some parents are not too pleased that he's selling it to the old Baby's Got Back song by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Why?
Because they think it's inappropriate to sell things to children using songs about.
I don't know, Kevin. I don't know how you feel as a parent, but some other parents are bothered by that.
No, but I. You want to hear a little taste?
Sure.
All right.
I like square butts, and I cannot lie. Squid and sea star can't deny. When a sponge walks in four corners in his pants like he got phone book implants, the crowd shouts. All the ladies stare. Dang, those pants are square. Swinging through the seaweed tangle is a butt with sharp right angles. Now, SpongeBob, I want to get with ya, because you're making me rich ya. I know why do we keep it grungy, because everybody knows that he's so spongy. Oh, rough on sponge skin.
Everybody knows he's so spongy.
So parents are upset about that?
Yes, because they're talking about butts and they got implants in his pants and...
Yeah.
Your butt ain't made for that! SpongeBob, I want to get with you because you're making me richer.
Really, though?
Look.
Really? That's what they're complaining
some
about?
Some parents are upset.
Well, they need to shut up.
And they are complaining that it's too graphic for children. And the content of that song is inappropriate to use in a parody meant to target children consumers.
Yeah, whatever.
And also, the Burger King rapes children.
Oh, my God.
That's not at all
true. I don't
think
that's true. Oh. I think you made that
up. But if it was, parents would be upset about it.
Then they would have something to be upset about.
That's what I'm saying. He lures them into his little magical kingdom.
Doesn't happen.
And takes their pants off.
Nope. I don't think that's true at all.
That's why he's got that weird look on his
face.
Doesn't
happen. That is why he wears a mask so no one can identify him. I'll tell you that.
King of pedophiles. But I kid you, Burger King. I love you.
I don't want to take my pants off.
And I love your flame-broiled goodness. They do. They got some good burgers over
there. I hear you.
Yeah, I think these parents may be overreacting.
You think?
Yeah. Kanye West.
Black.
Is indeed black. And he watched Wednesday night's episode of South Park like the rest of us. And says that he will not deny it hurt him a little bit the way they portrayed him on the show. I don't know if you caught it or not, but Kanye was the one person in the world who did not get the joke.
Yeah, and was so full of himself and so...
Kept
just
talking
like,
about how what a genius he was,
yep.
And it was just pretty much how he is.
Pretty much real life.
Here's what he says on his blog. South Park murdered me last night, but it was pretty funny. It hurts my feelings, but what can you expect from South Park? I actually have been working on my ego, though. Having the crazy ego is played out in my life and my career. So he went on to say he loves the show and thanked the writers for the mention, and he's going to work on being a doper person by stop talking about how dope he is all the time.
Hmm. Okay.
But once he does that, if he stops talking about how dope he is all the time, and then it makes him a doper person, he's going to say, I'm a doper person now, which in essence will be talking about how dope he is.
That's true. That is true.
See?
It's a no-win.
You can't brag about being humble, my friends.
I thought it was dope.
See what I'm saying?
Sure.
All right. Congratulations to Sarah Michelle Gellar. That's the wrong sound effect. That's better. Although she is magical.
Yeah.
She and her husband Freddie Prinze Jr. are expecting their first child in the fall, so that's good news. And also, Pink has reunited with her husband.
It's official. Carrie Hart and Pink are back together again. Carrie told the British tabloid The London Sun they've decided to work things out since separating last year. And he admits that his wife is just totally normal and low-key, and they really enjoy their time together. So congratulations.
Okay, explain the pink.
If only we had a chance to talk to Carrie Hart recently, and we could have asked about that relationship and maybe
had that
scoop for people.
I didn't think anyone cared because it's been a long time. So
you know how people feel about celebrity relationships. You're right. Not interested.
It's not like they broke up a week ago.
Big pop star and big motocross star. Why would anybody be interested in that? Once again, Kevin, your judgment is unerring.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Steering clear of that snake pit of questioning. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sportscaster John Madden celebrates his 73rd birthday. Boom! Actor Steven Seagal. Yeah. As our buddy Doto likes to call him, Steven Seagal is 58 years old. Babyface turns 51. Brian Setzer of the Brian Setzer Orchestra and the Stray Cats is 50 years old. Mike Mushok of Stained is 40 years old today. Mandy Moore turns 25. And Haley Joel Osment from the Osment family, of course. Very popular singers and dancers for many years now. Donnie Marie Osment.
This is not the same at all. No, this is a different kid altogether.
Not even close.
Oh, that's right. He's from The Sixth Sense. He's 21 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.